Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly update and open forum. Today is Monday, August 11th, 2014. And like we usually do, we'll start off taking a little bit of a look at the Bible. And tonight, I was looking at a verse in Matthew 4:4, where the Lord said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In Matthew chapter 7, we read in verses 21 through 27, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, we read, For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So we cannot claim God and not listen to him. You know, we mention this from time to time, I think we mentioned it all the time, really, that if we don't come with a bent knee and turn to God, this is his law, it's not ours, this is natural law, common law is natural law, it's God's law. And we get our rights, our gift is liberty. And we get our rights, our unalienable rights, from God. And our founding fathers wrote it into the Constitution that one of the purposes of government, particularly this government, was to protect the blessings of liberty. They understood they couldn't just say liberty, because liberty is a blessing. You have to be blessed to have it. So it is to protect the blessings of liberty. They could protect liberty, but if we're not blessed with it, there's nothing for them to protect because we won't have it. So we need to go to our Bibles to get spiritual nourishment. Bread alone is not enough. We need spiritual bread. And we read in Luke 11, verse 3, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The day is your daily bread. What you do today is your daily bread. How you react and how you act is your daily bread, either within the will of God for the blessings or outside of the will of God for the curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read in verses 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And so the focus is the purpose of this is to humble us. He commanded us to observe and to prove us, and for us to know in our own hearts, our own relationship, whether we do indeed come to the Lord, or if we're really just listening to ourselves. And he goes on, or know, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he may make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, or the mouth of the Lord, doeth man live. And finally, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And, you know, if we are living by his law, then we have to be living in his word. And if we're living in his word and living in his law, then he says he's going to be a shield unto us, to shield us from our enemies. And there's plenty of stories in the Bible that show that clearly, the amazing miracles that God has performed, how he blinded the enemies of his people and destroyed them. So God is our shield, and he will protect us, but only if we are listening and trusting him. You know, and you have to ask the question, are you deceiving yourself, claiming God, as you eat your own bread, or are you opening your Bible and thereby eating the bread of life? Are you listening? Okay, let's move on with tonight's meeting. A couple of things. One thing particularly I want to cover immediately. We've been watching this case with Commander Walt out there in Tennessee, and there's another case with one of our members, one of the individuals down in Florida, who is a member of National Liberty Alliance, I believe for quite some time, and they were called for jury duty. And so he went and answered the call, and they made him foreman. And he started to do some things and started to uncover the corruption and started to, uncover the puppetry involved here. And it's a pretty interesting case. And he's brought this attention to the attention of the judge. There's a couple of judges involved, and they don't seem to be doing anything. And the prosecutor, which is called the state attorney, I guess they call it down in Florida, but prosecutor, one who's leading the grand jury, is literally leading the grand jury. And we're going to consider indictment on this guy. And we're going to go into the details of that on Thursday. So instead of Thursday's law program, we're going to start off with a potential indictment. We'll send an email out tonight or tomorrow, and let everybody know that they might want to come to this meeting at 9 p.m. It'll start 9 p.m. sharp, so everybody needs to be there. And whatever time it takes to do, it'll do. When we're done, we'll then move into our regular programming and finish off the final hours with that. But I got to believe it's probably going to take less than an hour. I don't know. It shouldn't take too long. And this case plays into us. And that's why I've been watching and we've been interested in it. Because we've got sworn affidavits in this case and in the Commander Walt case, which clearly shows the corruption, the control, the puppetry of the juries, the fact that the government cannot be trusted to run juries, and how they've used these juries to protect themselves and to act outside of the law without any concerns or any worries. Because, look, prosecutor ain't going to prosecute me. I'm the judge. No one's going to prosecute me. I'm the prosecutor, and I'm protecting the judge. And should a grand jury come in, well, we'll have total control over them. We'll make sure they're blindfolded, make sure they don't see any of the evils, and we'll get them to make them to believe in us. And this is exactly what's going on. But the corruption is being unfolded, and then there's the Commander Walt case. That particular case, I spoke with Commander Walt a while back, and I told him we were interested in helping him, but I didn't see whether we'd be able to help him until we came into power. But what I've been keeping an eye on things, and when this other case in Florida came up, I realized that this is a case that will... With this particular case in Florida really puts out the way it is across the whole nation, the way things work in every county. And that's why it's such a good case to take on to. So they're going to do an indictment down there. I've been working with the paperwork on that. And, of course, they have to get the permission of the people of Florida. But we decided to do this national also. So it's going to become a joint effort because now it becomes a conspiracy that crosses state lines. And when we pull Tennessee into it, and we have another problem with the jury, because that's what the Commander Walt case is all about. Commander Walt had some evidence concerning the President of the United States. He tried to get the attention of the jury, and he was stopped by numerous people, particularly a foreman who himself of the grand jury, who himself was a lawyer and still is a lawyer, yet he's the foreman of the grand jury, and he's been so for many years. I don't remember the numbers or anything. I'm going to go through all that, and we'll lay that out on Thursday night. and for consideration of indictment. Now, this these two cases really does some really powerful, you know, it's a powerful move for us to do, because with what we're about to do on a national level with all of the judges, all of the federal judges, what we've done so far, and we have a paper we need to get written up and send. Matter of fact, there are two papers I think we need to get written up and send in, which hopefully we'll get out this week. We do have the other information that will be going in as soon as we get to raise the $6,000 for it, and then that'll go in, and the timing is just right. We couldn't have planned this better. We didn't plan this at all, and it just came and hit us, like everything else we've been doing. We stopped really trying to plan how, when, and where. We're just kind of going, rolling with the punches, so to speak, and doing the necessary things at the time, and waiting on the right time to make a move, which really, you know, a door has to open, which will lead us into something else we want to talk about. But first, you know, with these two issues, these are very important. So Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to meet right here in this room. And it's going to be a national meeting. Everyone is invited. And we're going to consider an indictment. We're going to read off the charges and what's going on. And we're going to produce two cases. And then we're going to consider that for indictment. And again, they will be in, the filings will be in Florida. And we'll also file it in New York as a conspiracy that crosses state lines. We will be filing it in New York under the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we will be doing the same thing in Tennessee. We'll see. We may file it in Tennessee also. We're looking for people in Tennessee that might want to kind of run that paperwork with us. But if we're unable to do that, we'll at least file it in New York anyway. We're going to pivot everything from New York because we're really going to consolidate cases. Any other case, if anybody has a case concerning a grand jury or a trial jury where they can get affidavits of a crime, you know, we'd love to add this to the case, because the more of this kind of thing we get, the more potent our case is concerning the fact that the government just can't handle it, besides the fact that they're corporate grand juries. Now, before the call started, Corey down in Brooklyn brought up the idea of how we might be able to raise the rest of the monies necessary to achieve our goal. And he came up with the idea of, you know, if all 50 states were to send in a portion of the $6,000, so you take $6,000 and divide it by 50, and that would be $120 a state. So if the state coordinators can work in their state to get up 120, let's say 150, because I know there'll be some states that just don't have leadership yet and they won't respond. But if they worked on 150 in each state, and you can get 10, 15, 20 people together, throw in a few bucks and get together $150 and either mail it in or put it in through the card, then we would be able to achieve our number quickly. That paper needs to go out. It's been sitting for 2 weeks. It's been done for 2 weeks. It's been sitting for 2 weeks. And it's only sitting because we don't have the $6,000. And we figure it's going to cost $3 per mailing. I think it's a 10 or 11 page paper, plus there's two or three pages. There's at least three pages for the mandamus that is to come from the federal judges to all judges for them to obey the law. So it's got to be 15, 16 pages, which has got to be at least 3 ounces and, probably 4, but let's say 3 ounces. And 3 ounces, I think the first ounce is, I think, 48 cents, and I think they raised it, but let's just say it's 48 cents, okay? And the next 2 ounces might be 38 cents. And so that comes to $1.24, but it'd probably ride closer to the 4 ounces. But in any event, about $1.25 just to make the mailing. And we figured to have all these papers run off, well, I'll take them to Staples. It's way too much to do off of my printer. Well, I don't know anybody that wants to put that kind of wear and tear on their printer. So we take it down to Staples, and they'll run it off. And we're kind of looking maybe $1.50 roughly to run that off, and maybe 20 cents or so. Well, not that much, maybe about a nickel or something for the envelope. So we figured $3. We've got just under 2,000 mailings, so 2,000 times 3 is $6,000. That's how we came up with that number. And that would include a mailing for the purpose, and we'd have to, there are 90 district courts out there. Of the 90 district courts, we would file in all. There's a lot more than that, but we're talking about the actual main court of the district, where the papers actually would be filed, a presentment would be filed. And so we're looking to file the presentment in all 90 district courts, every single one of them. And we want to do it at the same time, the same day. So we want to get the mailing out all at one shot. But we also want to, at the very same day, and in those 90 filings, we need to put an envelope in there with a self-addressed envelope for the purpose of them sending back a stamped copy of the front page, you know, for the timestamp in the filing. Now, we figured out that there are about 1,824 federal judges. There are magistrates also, but we're not including the magistrates. We're just going after the judges. And what we're going to do is send a letter to each one of them and require that they, sign the mandamus and send it back to us. And then there's 12 appellate courts, federal appellate courts. And we're going to notify them, too. We're going to send a copy to them. I got to believe there's got to be an honest judge somewhere. I got to believe that there has got to be someone with a conscience. I got to believe that there's someone that's just dying. They can't live in this no more, and they really want to get it off their chest. I got to believe. I've heard Thornton talk about a group of judges that are on the federal level that love the common law and study the common law. And so we're going to find out if they exist. But, of course, if all fails, then we will go to the United States Supreme Court. We'll have the perfect case. They will not be able to refuse dealing with us. And we're not going to ask them anything. We're going there to tell them to sign the paper because it's the law. And we want them to make the judges obey the law because the entire system has collapsed. So, anyway, that's kind of our plan, and that's where we're heading. So this idea of $150 per state might really work well if the states start to focus in on this. Okay, let's go to the next thing. I'd like to give the definition of an opportunist. And it's very important because we're plagued with opportunists. And opportunist, you know, off the top, you kind of think it's a self-centered individual. And ultimately, I think it is. But the definition of an opportunist is one that compromises principles for expediency. That's what the definition of an opportunist is. They see something happening, and they try to grab hold of it, and they move it quicker so that they can really gain power, I guess. Whatever the motivation of people for doing this, I don't know. It could be because they really think that people are moving too slow, and they want to move it quicker because they got to get it done, because all things are lost. But I want to tell you something. I don't care if we think that the world's going to fall apart tomorrow. If we leave our principles, we lose. And this is where trust comes in the Lord. This is where the rubber meets the road. Are we going to stick on principles, or are we going to yield to principles and go for what is expedient? We have to do things the right way. We have to do things in order. We have to be honorable, and we have to go forward the right way. There is no shortcut. And in this process of going forward the right way, it puts the pressure on the enemies of liberty. And believe me when I tell you, there is pressure on the enemies of liberty in the court systems today because of us. And they are feeling the pressure. A lot of these people don't sleep at night. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Other people may not see it as well as we can, but I can tell you from experience, from communicating, talking, and involving with these people. I haven't done so in a while, but also their paperwork that they respond, which is the bare minimum, you can see, you know, they're concerned. And the fact that, you know, we went from just a couple of counties in New York to all 62 counties in New York to numerous states around the United States and now to 48 states, and today 49, by the way, I think that came on board yesterday or the day before. We now have 49, and I think it's, what is it, Iowa, I think, is the only one. Is that the only one that's left? Is it Iowa? I'd have to go back through my notes to see. Yeah, Iowa. North Dakota came in. Iowa, which is expected to come in on the, I think I received an email around the 24th, if I recall, of this month. So we're only about a week or two away from Iowa coming in, and we'll be 50 states strong. So we're 49, soon to be 50. And believe me, when they see those states added on, that's what frightened these people to death. When Florida files their paper, they're going to do it unified. And when they do it unified, they're going to see every state listed and a seal behind them at the end of these papers. And then when New York files, they're going to see 49 states filing behind them, and they're going to be seeing the seals with, of course, the impress seal of the unified United States grand jury. So that should put something, that should shake them up. Okay, anyway, so we must stay on the course and stay with principles. Or we're going to lose everything. We got to see clearly and accomplish our goal. You know, we got to remember that justice is synonymous with virtue, and patience is virtue. Therefore, with patience and a humble heart, we shall go forward. And those who don't think who think we're moving too slow, and we got to go faster. Now they're trying. So there are people who are trying to springboard off of us. It's already been done already where they've used our name and they're using our material, but they're not studying, but they're using our material. And then they're trying to, I guess, look like us, like because they know there's some clout and power in what we're doing. And they think they're going to push things forward. If anything, they'll destroy the work we're doing, and we need to separate ourselves from them. People need to realize who they are and recognize these people as opportunists and they're compromising principles. They're moving too quickly. I think we're moving quite quickly, to be honest with you, considering what we're doing and how big this is and how far we've gone. I think we're moving quite quickly. To achieve the goals that NLA has achieved in 1 year and 2 months, in my opinion, is nothing short of amazing. I never anticipated, I hoped we could do it. I hoped we could do it quicker, but I'm a realist. I never thought we could do 50 states in 1 year, 2 months. I really didn't think we'd do that. I hoped we would, and we did. So we have moved in leaps and bounds, but it's still not fast enough for some people. So there are people who are trying to push NLA into a different direction. They want vengeance, and they want it now. They're impatient people. The Lord says, "Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. It's not theirs. It's not ours. It belongs to the Lord." We're coming with humility. We're coming with patience. We're coming with honor, and we're coming with mercy. We're coming with an olive branch. If you read our paperwork, and we'll give it ultimatums though, and we're coming firm at the same time. So let me read a letter, which is an example. I'm not going to name the person who wrote this letter, but many of you know this person. But I'm not out about, you know, reading, telling people, you know, saying bad things about somebody and posting that information. But I do want to read this letter because it gives an example of what we're up against. And I get calls all the time telling me I'm not doing it right. We're not doing it fast enough. We need to move now. And I try to get these people to relax. And this is God's determination on timing, not ours, not at all. I mean, look at the way things went just to get to this point, and now we're here at a certain point. We're about to file the biggest paper we have, and a great opportunity for two potential indictments that just falls into our hands. You know, it just dawns on us that one we could do, and the other one just came out of left field. And wow, here's two potential indictments, and we might find more. Who knows? And we'll be able to file this around the same time. I mean, it's like a double punch, you know, a cross and an uppercut. All right, so anyway, here's the letter of someone who, again, this person's known in the movement, and we've spoken many times, and he said he was going to be honorable, and, you know, you do things your way, but, you know, here's what he writes. Recent events force me to ask this question. Are you purposely trying to destroy the grand jury movement that you champion? If not, let me offer my counsel. While your name and honor may still be salvageable, recent calls to me by your now confident, shaken members force this call. Suck it up, swallow a little pride, and call me as soon as possible. What you began is bigger than either one of us and vitally important to the nation's resuscitation. Don't blow this opportunity. And then there are two questioning supporters blind copied. So there are two individuals at least that are not happy with the way we're moving. And again, you know, people are welcome to go do whatever they want. We tell people all the time, you know, we had situations. We don't want people to be using our mailing list in order to run their own programs. You know, we're trusting certain people to come into our program here at National Liberty Alliance and to do the right thing and stick with the program. And we've laid things out very carefully, and we're running according to law and history, process and procedure. We've really, you know, done our homework here. We know what we're doing, and we're going forward. I mean, we're learning a lot on the way, too. You know, we don't know it all. But we do know the process and procedure, and we know the right way to do it, and we're acting under principles. And we're moving forward, and we're building a case that will at some point be explosive. And I think we're there. We're at that point of explosives, you know. So that's where we're at. But if these people are really sincere, if these people are really so concerned that we're doing it the wrong way, I'm here many hours a week. I'm here every Monday night from 9 p.m. to midnight, and I've been here for well over a year. Every single Monday night, we have not missed one Monday night. I'm available for questions. I'm available. If people want to debate a situation because they really think we're doing it the wrong way, I let everybody talk. They're welcome to give their position, and then I'll give our reasoning why we're doing it a different way. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll realize that we need to change focus, you know. But at least everyone will hear, and everyone will know, and we'll all know the truth, and we'll all understand why we're going the way we're going. So if they're sincere, they should be a little kinder. I think they should be a little more humbler. And again, I think they should come here and talk. You know, I'm also here now every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till midnight. And again, there's a place. I mean, it's about the law, but we will engage anybody who wants to rebut our positions here. And I am one of those individuals. I love to do things out in the open. I like things without a plan. You know, when I go into a talk radio show or something, it just whatever falls out of his mouth falls out. Same thing here. I mean, I make some notes that I want to run through it on Monday night, but I don't have a written script. And I like the challenge of someone who is going to try to correct me. And sometimes I do get corrected, and I welcome that. But for people to, you know, do things that are not honorable, like robbing our list in order to lead people in another direction as if it's NLA and it's not, I think that's not very honorable, obviously. And people need to be alert for that when people are taking people down another direction. What I have found is a lot of the people that are against what we're doing or against the way we put it together and they want us to go a different direction, they're not here on Monday nights. I tell them, come on Monday night, debate it, bring it up, you know, talk about it. But they're not here. So anyway, I want to bring that to the attention because there are a lot of opportunists out there, people who are willing to compromise their principles in order to have expediency. And I promise you that if we compromise our principles for expedience, I promise you, we will fail. There's no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my heart. Okay, let's see if there's anything else I want to cover before we open up the mics. I think that's pretty much it. If there's anything I forgot, Gerard, are you there? Anything you could think of we need to bring forward here?
Yeah, I am. Look, some people think we raised enough money to pay for the mailings already. They don't understand the cost of running this thing day in and day out, the web cost and the mailings and the filings. And I guess you have a goal up there. What's your goal up at now? It's like
yeah, it's at 14,000. We originally went out at 8,000, and the 8,000 was to cover bills and a few other things, and also to set the course up there, get the course going. We have someone I'm going to be talking to tomorrow who might be able to help us, so we may be able to save some money with that. And of course, there are bills. There's monthly bills constantly. That's not all terribly high, but they are there. And now with the $6,000 we need to come up with, we also, again, we, and this is God's timing. You know, we can't go forward. We can't go forward. I can live with that. But on another side, as my human side, I'm anxious. I'd love to go forward with other things. And one of the things I'd like to go forward with is that there are about 8 countries that have made contact with me. It's been a while since I spoke with any of them, but they have made contact with me, and they are really interested and excited to get onto our website so that we can, you know, work with other countries. And I've already created a framework for that kind of thing where people can come in, and not only states, they can hit a country. And then they can start to learn with us. I mean, common law is common law. They can look at our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. It is something that is honest for the people, but they can consider that. You know, we have one country that wants to come in out of Africa, and they don't even have common law in their background, so they'd be starting off fresh. But look at, freedom is popular. And if and when we're successful, and I do believe by God's mercy we will be successful, then it's going to move across the planet in light speed, in my opinion, because if America falls, the world will fall. If America can succeed and beat these SOBs down, then the world will also go the same way. I believe that, because people, just by nature, want to be free. They just want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. Why do you have, just leave me alone? And so now we have to work for that. That takes work, and we've got to make sure that they leave our children alone, so we have to work real hard.
Yeah, and then we got guys like Matteo out there saying that this website shouldn't cost more than $20 a month. Obviously, he's never done a professional website in his life, doesn't know what it costs. So, you know, we have people out there that are just making trouble for no reason, and they don't understand what, you know, I don't know if he's on a fixed income or any kind of income at all. He doesn't know what it costs to live today. But nobody's pulling a salary out of this thing. Nobody's getting rich. And I just want to say, John spends every minute of almost every day doing this. And he gets money from who he can beg it from and the little jobs that he gets here and there. But let me tell you what, he's running around an old car that needs brakes and all, you know. There's nobody getting rich here. And anybody that says that there is, they obviously are delusional. So I'm going to put that to bed. I'm not answering that anymore. But believe me, all the money is spent on moving this thing forward, you know. And, I mean, even my time, I would put more in, but I have a business, and I have bills myself. And there's not enough money for me to knock off some of my business to help John. And so that's a problem. I mean, we could use quite a few full-time people at this point organizing.
Well, we
definitely
need that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got problems here and there, and look, we could be on the phone. I mean, I stay on the phone till 12, 1 o'clock with John every night, calling different counties, calling across the nation where it's 3 hours earlier. I don't think I've had a full night's sleep since I got on this thing with John. I mean, I'm lucky I still got a marriage, you know. It's like, but it's... Look, we give 110%, and you know, if you think we're living in the lap of luxury, maybe you should follow around behind us and see the bloody footprints like in Valley Forge, because we're getting to the point that, you know, we're buying old tires for our cars, for my goodness sakes, you know. It upsets me when anybody says that we're taking advantage or we have enough money or that, you know what, come in and how much money did you put out there? Matteo, how much money have you donated to National Liberty Alliance? I don't know, but I'll bet you not too much. Okay, thanks.
All right, yeah, and, you know, those of us who have been volunteering, I've been at this actually a couple of years, but, of course, as National Liberty Alliance, a year and 2 months, and I have spent our life savings for this project. When I say our, I mean off my family's. And I do get from time to time people who give me some money and that we can live on. But anyway, you know, what's important is getting this job done. One other thing I did forget is the jurist handbooks. All the jurist handbooks went out today. We packed them over the weekend. We received the books last week. I received the boxes on Saturday, and we did the packing of all the boxes over the weekend, and we've shipped it out. I mean, what a thing that was. I don't remember how many boxes went out, but believe me, my office was full of them. And we've got 5 boxes. Each one of them have 100 booklets in them with addresses, but they were rejected at the post office because they didn't compute. Most of them because they didn't have an apartment when they knew it was something with an apartment or a suite, okay, and they weren't sure which it was. If it was a suite, we probably could have got there. If it was an apartment, that could have been a problem. So I could have sent them out and took a shot in the dark, but then they'd return them, and I'd have to pay for the return postage if they couldn't deliver them. And so I figured I'll try to find those people. So tomorrow I'll go through the list of people to see if we can't find these 5 people and get their proper addresses. Whenever anybody, and I'm trying to set something up now on the website so that it comes, it's going to be done through a credit card or a debit card, or even a check online maybe we might be able to do also. Some people like to mail it in anyway, and that's fine too. But I think it'll work out a lot better, and we'll probably get more orders if we can set up a credit card system up there. And that way we'll get a clear writing. I mean, a lot of people's writings are hard to read. You have to really print very carefully. And sometimes you have the name on a piece of paper and the address to send it to, and you have it on the envelope, and still you can't read it. And so we kind of guess. And that's true on the street names and the towns. You know, it's not too bad on the towns, because if I have to, I run the zip code on Google, and I'll find the town and be able to spell it, or the city. But that takes work. It takes time. So it puts more work into what I'm doing. And then we have people who don't want to use a zip code because they think that that's what makes them free. You know, first of all, you don't have to worry about using the zip code sending to us, because we're not the fiction. We're not going to use it against you to begin with. But they're not going to use it against you either. They never do. That's just having you chase your tail. That's all that is all about, to get rid of your license. They're just having you chase the tail. They're laughing at you. Because it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. A fraud is a fraud is a fraud is a fraud. It doesn't matter what it is. I give no acknowledgement to fiction at all. That's the motto of NLA. We don't care about fiction, because fiction is not reality. And reality will set in on these people eventually, and then they'll pay the piper. But anyway, do put your zip codes, if you're really that concerned, put it in brackets, because they claim that exempts you from using it or something. I don't know. We were taught that, as a matter of fact, and we exercised all that silliness ourselves. I mean, you know, we were poisoned just like everyone else until we came to our senses. And then we took this battle from a different direction, because it's all about jurisdiction. And we know the jurisdiction they're supposed to be in. It's the jurisdiction of reality. It's the Constitution. Obey the law or go to jail. And we intend on putting people there unless they obey the law. But, of course, we're coming with an olive branch. We're coming with mercy, a sense of mercy. We're not here on a witch hunt. They want to work with us, we're good with that. We don't care about their past sins. Their past sins may catch up with them. There's nothing we could do about that. Maybe they shouldn't have sinned. But that's their problem. Okay, so anyway, the books are out. We're up to date. Matter of fact, I had a couple of orders came in today, and they'll be going out in the next day or two. As soon as I get these things together, I'll send them out. I'll try to get them out as they come in. You know, maybe I'll do a mailing list as everything comes in. As soon as you get maybe 10 boxes to go out, I'll send them out. Or at the end of the week, if I don't have 10, I'll just send them out. But we'll get them moving all the time.
And that's good news, because those are very powerful books.
The delivery of the books is supposed to be on, the 15th or the 18th. Those are the dates that I started to see on the receipt, the expected delivery date. So depending on where you're at, if you're out in California, you can look more towards the 18th. If you're, you know, generally in the Northeast, you can look on the 15th. I think I even saw Florida the 15th, so we'll see how that works. But again, it's out, it's done. Now, anybody who doesn't receive their books, but like say by the 20th or the 21st, you know, give me a call, 845-233-6560. Do it at night, because I don't answer the phone during the day. I'm too busy doing other things, and I'm only answering my phones at night, you know, in the evening. So I usually get online, unless I'm on a program, I'm online at 8:30, roughly speaking, till about midnight. Sometimes I try to get away earlier, but that rarely works out. You know, give me a call, let me know, just in case we missed getting one or two on the list. But I don't think, I did get an email from someone a while ago who said, hey, change my delivery to this instead of that, instead of what I put on. And I couldn't find that person's name. So I'm wondering if they just got lost off that list. So if that person doesn't get it, and, you know, anybody doesn't get it by the 21st, 22nd, check with me. Okay. I think that brings us to the end of things. Anything else, Gerard, before we open the lines?
No, that's it. Go ahead, John.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our first caller in the box. excuse me. Okay, 201, what is your question or your comment?
Hi, John, Jason from New Jersey. How you doing?
How you doing, Jason?
Fantastic. It's great to see 49. I just can't wait for the 50th State Iowa to come back come on. I'm really glad the books are coming in. I just can't wait to get my copies for the state of New Jersey. We're waiting on you and the greatness, graciousness of our civil servants who are right now dis civil servants. And when they the point here is that we're doing everything right. We're doing it under mercy and under honor. We're not dealing with people who have those capacities to understand that, because they're puppets and they're owned by someone. And in the Constitution, we're doing everything correctly. I would like to say, on my part, you have to go your thing, but I really would like to send this to the military, because if the civil authorities aren't listening to we the people, it is up to the military to create order for the people.
Well, I don't know that I even understand what that process would be or what conditions that would happen. I mean, I can see the potential, but that's not necessarily good, because that could be part of their plan. Remember, their plan is a military plan. We know what we got to do, and we'll take it to the exhaustion. But even when we get up to the United States Supreme Court, you know, even if we don't get the proper response from them, that doesn't mean it's over for us. It really doesn't, because the pressure will continue to mount. And I want to tell you, you got 50 seals on a paper, and they see that this is coming from thousands of people across the nation, and they're organizing. They're coming as the grand jury, because that's the people's right. That's the people's that's the authority by which they receive their power. I want to tell you something. They need to be shaken in their boots, because they know at some point the hangman's loose is waiting for them, because they are traitors if they don't step up and do the right thing. And I got to believe there are some judges out there. Even though I haven't met them, I got to believe there's some out there that are still patriots, that are still honorable people, and have a hard time living with what they're seeing around them. I mean, look at the decisions of the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. You have justices there. Remember, they've come from the federal level. A lot of these judges, they've been pulled out of because they were judges on the federal level. And so somehow they were able to keep their integrity there and able to come in onto the courts. Now, we do know we have two or maybe three Marxists on our United States Supreme Court right now.
And who do you say they are?
I'm not going to say.
But, all right.
You know, the thing is that there are enough of people, whether you want to say the conservative or liberal, that means nothing to me anymore, because there's only really right and wrong, and a conservative or a liberal can do the right thing or the wrong thing, and it's that simple. And I think there's a lot of judges up there that'll do the right thing. I believe Scalia is one of them. Look what he has given us, and it's not just the United States versus Williams. Go read his cases. He's a pretty honorable guy, and he's pretty logical, lays it out. I don't know that he gets it right all the time, but, you know, nobody gets it right all the time. But then on the other hand, when it seems to us that he's getting it wrong, better go read the case, find out what the jurisdiction was. They try to stay away from that funny jurisdiction, I think, but when it hits them, they deal with it, and of course, there'll be then a division between the judges. But I'll tell you what, the United States Supreme Court has been pretty good for us because that's what we've been holding. And remember, you know, a decision on the Supreme Court becomes the law of the land. Every judge is required to obey the decision of that case. It's not just that they could or they might or whatever. They have to obey. It becomes the law to them. And until that is overturned by the United States Supreme Court, because sometimes cases are, you know, they come to their senses that we're wrong, you know, and until that happens, they're required to obey it. The question is why don't they? Why don't they? Well, I'll tell you why they don't, because you're in a foreign court. You're in a chancery court. These are chancellors. Chancellors are kings. They rule off the bench. They make it up as they go. They do whatever they please. They're tyrants. That's why. And we can put their flesh on the line as long as we stay focused on that jurisdiction. And that's the key to this whole thing, and putting their flesh on the line and let them know that at the end they're going to burn. We're going to get them. We're going to get them because we know what we're doing, and we're coming, and we're not going to stop, and we're going to go to the next level. And they're afraid of the next level because they don't know how that's going to work out. And again, I want to tell you, I can see Judge Joe calling Judge Mike, and Judge Joe knows Mike's a pretty righteous guy. And he's had, you know, he's played golf with him, had coffee, tea, whatever with him, and he knows Judge Mike is a little upset about things, and he knows that Judge Mike is probably going to do the right thing, and I can see him making a call saying, what are you going to do? Because you got the letter too. Well, you know what I'm going to do, Joe. Come on. You know what I'm going to do. So now Joe's in a dilemma. Is Joe going to do it too, or is he going to be on the other side of that coin and be a traitor to his nation? Is he going to not send that paper in and subject himself to being indicted? Because if Judge Mike is doing it and a whole bunch of maybe a handful of other judges are doing it, we're all going down. We're all going down. I can see that kind of a conversation taking place, and they're in a dilemma, and they know we've given them the olive branch. Look at. Just do the right thing. We don't care about your past. They have the opportunity of being forgiven for their past from the grand jury for knowledge that we know. We'll let it go. But of course, later on, if someone that has been injured comes to us, we now have a duty to the injured party. So their sins may catch up with them anyway, but at least they have a chance. And I don't know if they're thinking that far. You know, when a rat gets caught in a corner, he's not thinking about the consequences on the way that he decides to go when it's time to run. And he's just going to hit in that rat trap, and that's going to be it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well,
anything else, Jace?
Well, in Jersey City, they are thinking about limiting the amount of open time for second readings. And I'm going to actually use an affidavit to have them arrested for their depriving me and the rest of the people of our rights to speak on an untimed basis. But we get a 5-minute thing to speak at the end of the meeting. But now they want to go.
Yeah, but they could do what they want. They're a corporation. They've got their corporate rules and the corporate judges. They got the corporate police.
If they are a corporation, they serve the people and they are a business. And that's serving the people.
Right, but all you got to do is wait until we get into power and then you'll go up there and we'll start talking. Look, the whole world's going to change. Their whole system's going to change. They're actually going to answer questions and they're going to be quite different. Once you see, the reason why they're resistant is because they're covering up something. And they got to control the people. They can't allow people coming in and saying things when they're doing things and they know they're going to get in trouble. They don't want this leaked out. Believe me, they're afraid of that. And you ask too many questions and they go down the road that they don't want it, and it reveals their character and who they are because they're all guilty. They're all guilty.
Again, they all
okay,
stand
hold on
old
a minute. Hold on. The point I'm trying to make is that they're all guilty and they know it. Now, when the things change and they know they got to stop their dirty deeds, okay? Now, once they stop, they're not doing it no more. They'll answer. And they know they got to answer, because if they don't, we'll make them answer. Because they have a duty to answer. And when an elected official has a duty to answer and stays silent, that's fraud. That's fraud. That's what the United States Supreme Court says. And fraud is enough to get them thrown out of office. And that's what we'll do. They'll either answer the questions or they're going to go home. Actually, they're going to go away on vacation for a little while first, and then they'll go home. But that's what we, the people, are going to have to do.
This is an interesting fact. If an individual is found guilty, every time is like the highest, the treason or whatever the point is, the highest level of time to serve is 20 years. Would that be 20 years to life, the way some of these suckers have been working?
Well, I have no idea what anyone deserves or anybody should get. We're not statutory, so it isn't one size fits all. Each jury considers each case according to the facts and the law as they understand it as natural law, and they get to decide what the term of the sentence would be, if there is to be a term. I mean, I think more than a term for these people, as much as I think I'd like to see a lot of them in jail, I think some of them do absolutely deserve to go to jail, but I'd like to see more putting a ring on them and having them live in jail, have them sleep in jail, and send them out in the morning to go to work, let them spend the weekends in jail, and let them go to work, and let them pay back the people, you know. We take their houses, their cars, and everything they got for restitution of the people and all the damages they've done, but there's not enough of what they got to care to restore all of the injured people. So we're not going to get totally restored, but we're going to get liberty, and that's good enough for me. That's restoration for me. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Right. Thank you, John.
Anyway,
I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care, Jason.
Take care, and good luck. God bless everyone.
You too. 406, wireless caller. Next call.
Hey, John. You there?
How you doing? Go right ahead. I hear something in the background. I heard you, but I'm not hearing a voice now.
Can you hear me now? All right.
I can hear you now. Sounds like a Verizon commercial.
Yep. Oh, good. This is Anthony from West Virginia. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing really good. Something came up with our West Virginia folks that came out of the Friday interview with John Glass. Is that his name, John Glass?
Oh, no,
Rod Glass. Wasn't it Rod? Anyway, something about the... did any of the material that get discussed there, are we opening ourselves up to move in a direction of incorporating any of that in what we're actually doing?
No. National Liberty Alliance, first of all, is just we're a facilitator. Okay, that's what National Liberty Alliance is. We're a facilitator. We facilitate education, we facilitate for organization, and we facilitate for communications. And then for a while, we will facilitate the paperwork until people can catch up to do it, because everybody's got to get educated. Believe me, I wish people were educated enough to be able to write a lot of the paperwork that we have to write, because I'm involved with, I'm just bogged down with writing, literally bogged down. And so, you know, if there were other people that could do it, you know, sometimes people are halfway there to do it, and they'll write the framework out, and then I'll take it from there and then clean it up and frame it and get it critiqued right, so that we're always on the right page of common law. That's what we are. That's what National Liberty Alliance is. Now, the people in National Liberty Alliance, they're the people of their counties first and foremost. They're the people of their state, second of all. And then they're the people of the United States, third of all. But the work that they have to do is grassroots. It's right on where the rubber meets the road. It's what's done in their counties. We are trying to build administrators. We have no control over those administrators. We want to instill principles into those administrators. We want to make that's why we set up a vow. We want to make sure that these administrators are educated, and that's okay. We're all on the job training as long as they're in the process of getting educated. And as soon as this course gets up online, I know I keep talking about it, but hey, you know, it's difficult to get these things moving. But once that's done, the people are going to be in it. And anybody who thinks they're going to become an administrator and not go through that course, they got it wrong. They're not going to be administrator. We're not going to let them. I'm not going to let them. I hope you're not going to let them. The people in the county's not going to let them. The people in the states aren't going to let them because it's the right. We got principles we have to sit on, we have to stand on. Okay? So if they're not going to educate themselves, they can't come in. So they have to get educated. And we'll have a lot of education here, not just what we're setting up. We've already working on administrative how-to, you know, exactly how to do everything, how to get into the process, where's the paperwork to get us into the process, how to do it, how to get into the courts, where's the money going to come from, right down to opening a bank account and taking phone calls and, I mean, everything, you know, we're doing a how-to on all of it. And so it'll all be there. And that's what NLA is all about. Now, again, the people eventually, you look at, we all have to wean off of and nurse off of our mother, so to speak. And that, I think, is the sense is what NLA is, as long as we need until we're weaned. Eventually you'll get weaned, you'll get the knowledge, you'll bring forth your wings and you'll fly on your own. But we will continue this Monday night meeting forever. And on this Monday night meeting will be the perfect opportunity and place for us to teach each other. You know, how did things go? We had a case we brought up. It was kind of a strange case, and this is what took place, and that's the way you would handle that kind of thing. Oh, that's what you guys did out there. You know, there are a lot of things that we have to work out because there has to be an injured party, but, you know, how do you deal with someone that's drunk and driving? They haven't injured anyone yet, but they put people in jeopardy, you know? So how are we going to deal with that? I got some ideas. And other people may have different ideas, and for us to communicate those ideas on a national level, we may eventually be able to work out a national idea in agreement. Hey, that's the best idea. Let's all, and people can work with it or not. It's up to them, you know. But this is what we have to do, and we have to grow. So here's that. That's where we're at. We're not partnershipping with Rod Class. We're not partnershipping with anyone. I want to tell you, people have been trying to partnership with NLA. For goodness, 8 or 10 months now. Okay, as soon as we started to become pretty popular, all of a sudden everybody wanted to be our partner, and we didn't have it ever. We never will. That's not what we're a people thing. This is about you and your grassroots doing your thing. Now, what does Rod Class have to offer? We do need special prosecutors. There are special cases that are going to come up, and we cannot trust it to these people that are the prosecutors in certain cases. We go after a judge. There's no way we're going to allow the prosecutors of that state to do any favor for this guy by throwing the case. So we need a private attorney general. Now, we have a couple of people out in California, and they have they have knowledge of other people that are capable of doing this. Rod Class clearly is someone who is capable of doing this. I've seen some of his work. I've listened to him talk. I know what he's thinking in a sense of the process. And he also has he's training people to be private attorney generals. The National Liberty Alliance is not training anyone to be private attorney generals, and we need that. So he becomes a resource that you may or may not use. When you need a private attorney general, you got options, and you need to get
over it. A private attorney general can bring a case in front of the grand jury, and they will work hand in hand. A lot of times, like, look at Rod has cases that if he had a grand jury seated, he could bring it to the grand jury, as a prosecutor, a private attorney general, and explain to the grand jury why this needs to be done, you know, or why it needs to be indicted. So, I mean, we do have stuff where we will, you know, where we will sort of feed each other or feed off each other.
Mm-hmm. What about the
What
about the bounty hunter issue? We're going to be doing anything with that?
Well, again, you know, if there's a need for that, I don't think there's a need for that because people will be caught up and pay the toll, whatever that toll is. I don't think we need to do that. That I think is more of a court job and a sheriff thing. That's not for the grand jury to deal with.
Okay. Well,
Here's a big problem the grand jury is going to have. And it's not a problem. It's an overload problem, if anything. And that is, in the very beginning, we're going to be extremely busy. And so the administrators are going to have a lot of work to do. And And as we settle things, so to speak, over time, a year or something, it'll calm down, and then we'll go way down there. Workloads will drop dramatically. But we're going to be behind the eight ball for a long time, and here's why. And we're going to have to. We already have some formulated ideas. We haven't expounded on them yet. Let's take all the people in county jail. 80% of the people in your county jail don't belong there.
That's right.
Let's take the people in federal prison. 80% of the people in federal prison don't belong there. Well, guess what? We have to go across the board. Let's just get an idea of a county jail. Okay, anybody who's been arrested for having a weapon, but they didn't injure anybody, they didn't put it in someone's face or something, they just happened to be caught with one, well, get out of jail free, you know. We do habeas corpus, bring them before us, and release them, okay? Anybody that's in jail for, doing drugs in a privacy of their own home, bring them before the grand jury and release them. I don't agree with doing drugs. I've tried them, as most everybody else has years ago. I mean, a long, long time since I've smoked a joint or something like that. Goodness. But I have no need to. I have no desire to, and I think it's wrong. I teach my children not to get involved with that stuff, and I know my children aren't involved in any of that. Raise up a child on how they should walk, but some people, they may want to do it from time to time, and that's their business. They're responsible for their own behavior. I don't think there's no look. If you want to go drink on a Friday night in the privacy of your own home, or go down to a bar and. And as long as you got a way home, that's your business, okay? Not my business. And for recreation, that's what you want to do. I think that's fine. When you abuse it, I don't think that's good at all. And if you abuse it, again, that's your business. I can't do nothing about that, and the government certainly shouldn't. It's none of their business. Goodness, if marijuana was legal, there'd be so much crime removed off the street just to begin with, just with marijuana alone. Number one, the price would be reduced, and now we'd be able to use it for the purposes of healing. And marijuana is great for making rope and clothing, and it's some of the strongest material, I understand, and it doesn't decay very very quickly at all, and it has a lot of healing properties. Okay, lots of healing properties. I mean, hey. That's why they made it illegal in the first place. And then they feed us those drugs that don't heal us, but they get rid of the symptoms, just hiding it, masking it, and you're going to die from it because you're just masking it. But anyway.
Right.
We're responsible for our own, so there's going to be a lot of work. And we're going to have to do things in a big way of releasing people from prisons. And we got to make room for the new people, You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I think there's going to be a lot of them there. I am so tired of hearing about raids. I am just so tired. I saw some parts was done on, I think it was Stossel's, was doing something and interviewing some people. And the way they talked about these raids, these cops, I'll tell you what, I want to see all these cops in jail. That's what I want to see. Any cop that breaks into your house in the middle of the night because the IRS has sent them out or some stupid thing. I mean, it's all stupid stuff. They treat us all like we're violent animals, okay? And most of the people that they're going after are over their 60s, okay? And and they're not doing anything wrong. I think they've been near to knocking my door down on a couple occasions over the past year. But I think I was just blessed to be able to, shake them up a little bit that they never done it. These people need to go to jail. How would they like us breaking into their house? I heard of something that happened in New York City just recently where an elderly woman in her 60s was dragged out of her apartment in the middle of the night naked and put onto the floor, handcuffed, and drugged to jail. And no less, it turned out they had the wrong apartment. Who are these evil people?
It happens, and they don't care.
They're not Americans. They're not Americans.
No.
They're not us.
No, I agree
100%. I heard a conversation on YouTube where they had a cop on the thing, and he was complaining, well, Obama doesn't even obey the Constitution. Damn, I don't have to either. Why should I? That's a cop. Now, I was trying to see his patch, whether he was a sheriff or who he was, because if he was a sheriff, that's bad enough. He's a corporate cop. They're all going anyway. But if he was a sheriff, that guy needs to be brought onto the carpet. That guy needs to lose his job, okay? Because they're the protectors of liberty. They're where that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where they took the oath. They're supposed to stand up and protect the people, and they're not doing their job. They're protecting their income is what they're protecting. They're protecting all that extra money they're getting on the side because they're crooked. That's what their problem is. Because any of these cops that are evil, and I believe it, I know cops. I grew up in a cop neighborhood, and I hung out with cops. And back in those days, I think most of them were decent, but there were some really bad cops. Let me tell you, these people were evil, okay? And they wanted to take. You look at it, if they're going to come out and beat you up and for no reason at all, and drag little old ladies out and do those kind of things. I seen on YouTube where they dragged a woman off of her wheelchair, okay? Mm-hmm. An elderly woman off of her wheelchair. And down in Louisiana, when they came and they tackled that woman. She must have been in her 60s or 70s. I think she was in her 70s because she had a gun in her hand. And they tackled
that little
her.
Peace shooter.
Are these people insane?
Yeah, they did that.
You know? These people... They're evil. You know they're on the take every which way when they do things like that. When someone has no compassion for anyone, they'd knock down their own mother or their grandmother and beat them up. They deserve nothing. They need to be treated like a dog. I have to back off on that. We have to be merciful and treat them decent. But they need to be dealt with correctly. They need to be put in jail.
Well, you brought up the healing and how they're against people being healed. Your mentor and one of our stellar spokesmen, G. Edward Griffin, wrote a book years ago, 1972. He wrote a book titled World Without Cancer. If you can get a copy of that, he had everything nailed right then. World Without Cancer tells you all about the cancer industry, the corruption, and he did a stellar job on that book.
There's a Dr. Brzezinski. I believe we have Dr. Brzezinski's videos up online, and we have a World Without Cancer, the Politics of Cancer, all of that by Griffin up online. It's on our website. You can find it under. Let's see where it is. You'll go to. Is it under news? Yeah, go to news. Just highlight news, and then you click on and you highlight today's issues. And then you'll see health issues. You'll see G. Edward Griffin, his poison money, secret congressional meetings, America Freedom to Fascism, Survival, JFK, County Sheriff, Continental Congress, 2009. I mean, we got a lot of stuff up there, a lot of videos. And, anybody who doesn't realize this, that there's a cure, there's lots of cures to cancer.
Oh, yeah. And there's another good book about healing, cancer healings. It's called Politics of Healing. I forget the author. That's another good one.
We got the guy from Canada. I forget the name of that one.
So, you touched on something real important there. And hemp is just one of the finest, substances to make good things with. Rope. Hemp makes the best rope, for example. John, it's always good chatting with you and listening to you. I won't take up any more of your time, but I just wanted to ask about the bounty hunters and the prosecutors. So you answered my question and more, and I sure appreciate it. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Good night. Let's take the next caller. Carl, go right ahead.
Okay. I don't know which line I've got you on.
You're on the Monday Night Call.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Hopefully this is the right one that I'm unplugging, so let me do that. All right, John. I am the person that wrote that letter. You know that, okay?
I know who wrote that letter, yep.
I don't do that out of malice or anything like that. I do that to try and help the cause. And I do believe in the cause. After all, I'm one of the guys that got this thing rolling in the first place. Not what you do, but common law grand juries. The reason I'm calling here tonight is a situation has presented itself that is going to help us, help both of us, okay? And when I say both of us, you know that I've gone the Board of Review route, okay, which, curiously, if you look at it, there's not a whole hell of a lot of difference between the two in the overall concept. But regardless of that, the situation has presented itself right now in my county where I've got a slam dunk for the grand jury. I care not about any acknowledgement for myself. I'll be more than happy to give it to NLA because I think this would be a just a perfect opportunity for you guys to get that one foot in the door, that one positive result that we've all been waiting for. Now, I'll talk with you off air about this, but that was one of the reasons.
It's good. You could talk right here. This is the best place to talk.
Well,
I mean, what kind of case are you talking about? Well, what kind of case is it?
It has to do – I'm trying to get my – no, God, I got to turn this other phone off.
Yeah, just talk generically. I mean, you don't have to mention places and names or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. This has to do with my county commission, okay? I put them on notice that the court system is going to have to be closed. And I've got the reason why it's going to be closed. There we go. Are we there?
Yeah, I saw the video.
Okay. Now, having said that, what I've got here is a case that just came up tonight. And that case is somebody that's on my board of review. The commissioners decided that since she has, and it is a she, a case against them, and it's something that they're now wanting to settle out of court for pennies on the dollar, but regardless, they also decided that they're going to put the screws to her by having her arrested for a make-believe crime. Now, tomorrow I go and proceed to get the evidence that I need that ties the county commissioner to this false charge that he put out there strictly to get her to negotiate down on that that lawsuit. What's happening here is this guy is making the county liable for untold amounts due to, you know, Title 18, Sections 241 and 242. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I will tell you that it is a slam dunk. And the reason it is a slam dunk is because we can't allow it to be going through the existing district attorney. They will exercise prosecutorial discretion and sweep it under the rug. But we, if we give it a little juice, can get this into the paper and be the saviors of this county and then turn Walt. You talked about Walt earlier. I've been all about trying to get that man the justice he needs from the first time that he put forth the arrest when he wanted to do the citizen's arrest on April 1st of 2009, I think it was. I was there with him for that. That has been a guiding force
for
me.
The reason why we're taking Walt's case on and the reason why we're taking the case on down in Florida is because it comes at the right timing. We're in the courts, obviously, and we're not in the courts in the perspective of being in the courts. We're filing in the courts, and we're getting papers filed now in the federal courts, and they're taking them. Now, they don't seem to be going through the assembly line, so to speak, and we're going to look into that to see what's going on. They're not sure what we're going to do or how we're going to react and to what they are doing, but we're going to act appropriately. But we got the pressure on, and I don't know if you know the plan we have at this point, because it's been a progressive plan, for lack of a better word, over a period of time, and we didn't really make a plan on how we were going to do it, but it just happened and unfolded, and we just opened one door at a time. Now, we're at a point where we're about to put on the carpet every federal judge in the nation, every single one of them. There's 1,825 or something like that, and we're about to file in all 90 district courts across the nation. And it's all going to be at the same time, and it's all about the same thing. It's fraud in a court. Ultimately, the fact that there's two courts, and one is treason against the United States of America. We made that case clear in our paperwork. And so that's the battle we're fighting above any other case. But when these cases revealed themselves to us, and then it dawned on us, wait a second, these are cases that show the fraud of the grand juries, that they're puppet grand juries, that they're corporate grand juries, that people have no access to the grand juries, that people who try to get access to the grand juries are going to jail unrighteously on trumped-up charges, and we can prove it. And we have people on the inside that went and sat there and see that how the state attorney, which is the prosecutor, how the prosecutor is manipulating the jury on how they've undermined the foreman. You got a righteous foreman here trying to get the law going and reading out of the book and saying, we got to do this, and seeing things going against their own rules. And you got a guy that's a prosecutor going around this guy's back, making phone calls and scaring the people on the jury and doing all kinds of things to manipulate the process. And you got two judges who aren't moving on this. Wow, this is a case that'll help springboard our position, because it lays out very clearly what Lysander Spooner has already said, that a government cannot operate and control and administrate to the juries, because if they can, then they will control the outcome of every case. Occasionally,
okay,
they'll get a loss, one loss. But there's no, you see, without, we can't go after just any case. We have to stay focused. The only cases we can go after, yeah, hang on 1 minute, let me just finish.
Okay.
The only cases we can go after are the cases that, A, prevent us from getting in, and now, B, we realize cases that show the fraud of the present condition. So any of those cases that shows the fraud of the present condition of the juries, because that's directly related to us, and any case that we have to deal with because a commissioner or judges prevent people from coming into the power within the courts, that's it. Now, we've got a lot of cases. I know a lot of people that need help, people who lost children, people who have lost their homes, people who are ready to go to jail for 20 years, and they need our help, and I'd love to help them. I can't, but we'll get back to them later. They may have to spend some time in jail, but when we get in, we will not forget them. We'll go after and help the people who we don't even know about yet, but we will find out about them, because we have a duty now in our county, and we'll have people working in every county, so we have a duty to go through all the books to see who's in jail and what are they in jail for. And we need to start looking at them collectively and see if it's not a violent case, what's going on here. And,
okay,
and so we're going to have a lot of work to do. We're going to get to them. We're going to help them.
This is not a matter of helping. This is not a matter of helping anybody in particular. This is a matter of getting the precedents that we've been searching for that one success. And I prefer to give you guys a slam dunk. Now I'm going to do it anyway.
But what's the case about? What's the case about fraud on the court, right?
Yeah, it's fraud on the court, obviously, but it does have to do with convening a grand jury and putting forth a false information, which is a crime, which is perjury, which is all of those things.
Now you got my attention.
Ah, okay. Well, that's what this is all about, and this was specifically designed to put the screws to one particular person. It's not about that person or that case. It's about how
they. Do we have sworn affidavits?
Yes, we will have sworn affidavits tomorrow.
Okay, get me a copy of the sworn affidavits. Get me the phone numbers of those people that swore to those affidavits. And we'll see if it is indeed a case focusing in on the corruption of the juries, then we will try to add it in on Thursday.
Okay, well, regardless of that, I will do that, by the way. I will provide you all of that stuff, okay? But what I want to tell you is, again, it's more important. It's actually more important for me than it would be for you, because Your success validates what I did early on. So, you know, that's the only stroke I ever need in this whole thing. So I want to give it to NLA, because NLA right now does have a bit of a name. And let's build that name, and this is how we can do it. So what I'm saying is I'm going to convening this grand jury, and I want to work with you to do this in the state of Georgia. And if you're willing to help me out with that, I'm going to help you out. Like I told you I would in the first place, okay? This is a win-win for you. It's a win for Walt. It's a win for the people of America, and that's what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, again, if as long as it's focused in on the jury and showing the fraud in the jury boxes by the powers that control these puppet juries, then it's a case we want. And anybody else out there that is aware of a case that has to do with the jury, and they need to get that to us if possible tonight, because Thursday is when we're going to look at these two cases and make decisions and go forward, hopefully, with presentments on all of these cases. But these are the kind of cases, not only does it, what it does is shines a light on the exact problem and makes our case much, much stronger. Because the more cases we have like this, also the fact that it's happening in Florida, it's happening in Tennessee, and now maybe Georgia, is that what you're saying? You're in Georgia?
Absolutely. And
you have three states.
It's nationwide. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, it's nationwide. But the point is because we have three states, it now has become a national conspiracy. RICO nationally. You see, we started off with RICO local. Then we went off the RICO statewide. Now it's RICO in our federal district. It's RICO in the federal courts all of the federal courts in New York. And now we're moving to RICO in nationally. Now we have a judicial emergency. And again, this is where the true patriots, the true judges, the people who have really been cringing over all the things, and they're right in the middle of the pit of hell, and they're dealing with all these ugly SOBs, and they're dying to get something done. Now here's their opportunity to do it.
Well, I don't think that they actually exist. Based on my experience, they might, but I don't think they actually exist. We have to force that hand. And
we'll do it under pressure. Yeah.
You will do it under pressure. And here's another thing that I want you to consider, okay? I don't know if you received the documentation that I've been spreading around, but I have from my Georgia archives the Georgia resolution that came out on in 1957. It was completed by both houses, and it goes to the illegality of and the unlawfulness of the 14th Amendment, okay? Now, I also have the congressional records from the actual archives of the congressional records. I also have a proclamation by someone who has done an infinite amount of work with all the citations. Those three are alone enough to shut down the court system. I'm going to be working with my local congressman, who I don't expect to do anything. But once I get this one case under the belt of NLA, if you want to work with me, I want this to be for NLA. So once we get that under the belt, then the people across the country will have a newfound energy to really get started on this in a big, big way. So work with me, John. Call me when you're done with the show tonight, either then or, first thing in the morning.
Well,
but
yeah,
let's talk
tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow. One of us will call the other. But the key thing is getting me these affidavits and the phone numbers to the people who write them ASAP. And are they in danger, these people, also?
That's tough to say, because when you've got a cornered animal like that seems to be wounded, you just don't know. And I don't know right now either. They can go one of a couple of ways. But right now, I pose a serious threat to them. She poses a threat to them. And everybody that's witnessed with her poses a threat. So, will they actually do something like that? Probably not, because they may think this is just, small potatoes and, not worth giving the light of day. So I think that's going to help us here. But what comes out after this is going to be important. And I'm going to be working this next 2 weeks with the mayors from the various cities. I won't approach them the way I did the county commission, because, you saw the video. I was pissed and I'm still pissed. So, I'll approach them a little bit differently. I want to get them on board. And I want to get them to go with me to the county sheriff, and I'll give him the sheriff's kit that Mike School puts out there, and also talk to him about the fact that he is no longer tied to this unlawful court system, which an oath is taken by our sheriff to be loyal to the freaking courts, if you can believe that. So, we've got to bring him back into compliance, and that's what I'm trying to do right now, and I'm a one-man show. You know that, John. So
I understand that, and I spoke with you about this. Once the grand juries are in play, border reviews is something that any group of people can go out and do. And
that's
when
it.
They find something, they can bring it to the grand jury and produce it to them, just like any other prosecutor or any group. That's the way the system is supposed to work. And we have to just pull a pool of people out of that that area to hear the case and make the decision. You just got to convince them that it needs to go to court, or you can also suggest a solution to the matter, and the grand jury should always take that suggestion and really strongly consider running with it if they think it's a good solution, and try to prevent it even from going into the courts and getting a contract done that has extreme legal consequences should they break it. You know, in other words, if they agree, then they're also agreeing to guilt. They have to understand that, and this is the solution to the problem. And should they break it, there is no court case for them to go and fight in, because it's done. You broke the contract. You've already admitted guilt. Now this is what's going to happen to you if you break it. And that'll be all clear. So.
That's correct. This is a fit. I mean, what we're doing together individually is the fit of a nice fitting glove. Okay, they do go hand in hand together. So. I'm excited about it, and I'm working with the group down here in Georgia that convened and got Georgia going. So I want them. They're probably on the call tonight, and I'd like for them to talk to you as well. But just know that this is right now. It's happening in real time, and I want everybody that's on this call to understand that these situations do present themselves, and when they do, you've got to pounce on them. You've got to be able to do what. Well, maybe you're not set up to do right now, but you've got to be able to do something a little out of the box. You've got to convene these grand juries for the purpose of getting these people held responsible for this, because the DAs
we have a plan here, and the first order of business is getting into the courts so we can act with power and authority and have the necessary clout to back us up. The sheriff will be obedient to the court, and the court will be obedient to the grand jury, and that's the name of the game. That's the end of the story. Once we're at that point, second order of business, of course, you know, the first order of business is, once we're in there, of course, is to bring common law back into all courts, and anybody acts outside of the law of the land, that's bad behavior. They're being yanked off the bench. The second thing, order of business, is dealing with the prosecutors, making them understand. You know, you don't have the ability to negotiate a situation with anyone. You know, that's the grand jury's job. And if the grand jury indicts, don't even think you can make a deal. Only the grand jury can make a deal. And so we got to straighten them people out. The next order of business is dealing with the sheriff, and those three groups can be done at the same time. And we have to bring the understanding of the sheriff that he's a moron. He's as dumb as a box of rocks as we were. Okay, the only difference is that we started to learn, and now it's time for him to learn. If he wants his job, come to NLA and take the course and learn common law so that you're able to see when the law is being broken, because right now, right in front of you, judges are breaking the law all day long, and you don't even see it. And if you did see it, you'd be sending patrol car after patrol car just arresting judges in all the courts all over this place, because they all belong in jail. So we need to bring him back under the wing of the people. And once we do that, which is knowledge, he took an oath, we also have to maybe turn over temporarily. We got to get all of the, what do they call that, the, what's on the tip of my tongue, the armory and the... you know, the people, what do they call that? How come
militia,
I can't think of that word?
Militia,
the militia. Where you at, Gerard? I'm waiting for you to save me. The militia. Okay, we got to turn the militia over to the sheriff temporarily, because this is desperate times we're in. And whatever is necessary for the sheriff to use the militia for, to protect the boundaries of his county and to protect the resources within that county, whatever, they got to do that. And at some point in the near future, we bring it back to the people. But the other thing is then we have to deal with the Assembly, we have to deal with the Senate, we have to deal with the Governor's Office in every single state. We have to read the Riot Act to these people. We got to let them know, obey the Constitution or you're out of here. And we're not going to think much about it. We're going to do it real quick. We're good right now. We're good to go. Just do the right thing. Now, once we bring the state, under the control of the people, and we've put ourselves into a position where we're saving ourselves from the insanity that I know you and most people here know we're heading for. We're trying to cut them off at the pass, so to speak, from creating chaos and death across this nation. And once we get that security in place, now we're open to do the business of the people. But nothing can get in the way of that. First order of business is housing and food, and that's what we have to worry about first. And it doesn't make any sense to go after any other case or to deal with anything until you've secured the home. We have to secure our homes. That's going to take 30, maybe 60 days, but I think it could be done in 30 if all the people in NLA and the other people watching that come in after wake up and really get active, and we work together diligently, understanding this is the war. This is it,
okay,
right here.
I already secured the home for the grand jury in my adjoining county. I've got that done. Now, it's not going to be out of the court. It's going to be out of the county commission building, okay? But as long as it's in the public eye and in the public domain, it looks like a court. It has every feel for a court. It will be a court. So that's done. I've got that accomplished. I did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but I'm talking about preventing martial law. I'm talking about securing the resources of the county. The resources of the county, the federal government has no right coming into a county to seize property and resources. The sheriff needs to meet them at the border and turn them around. And they need the militia. They need the people.
Let's stay on point here. The thing that you alluded to is correct. The contact with the militias has to be done, and it has to be done right away, because you have to expect that when the courts shut down, okay, you're going to have a little bit of a chaotic situation going on, and that chaotic situation is what the working with the sheriff and the police people in town is going to be all about. And you've got to have somebody in those environments where this is going to be done to be able to interface, to be able to be that liaison, okay? I'm doing that here, but people need to know how to do that. So what we're going to have to do is give them the tools and give them the resources. Who do you contact? Who do you make aware of the situation? Who do you get to support the idea that the people, the first branch of government actually, is back and they are real, and you're going to have to do something, because what they have got right now is unbelievably unlawful. The rules of criminal procedure are out of here. The rules of criminal procedure are out of here. We've got to return to, I hate to say it, but it is the King's common law, but we have to go back to that. That's the only thing that we've got to work with that makes any sense.
There is a history of common law that runs right alongside of the King's common law, and there are times when the King, did the will of the people, and that was the original setup. But that always goes bad. We knew that happened. And biblically, we were taught that. England made a big mistake when they did that, and the United States, thankfully, didn't make that mistake. And so, but it's natural law, really. It goes right back to the book.
Okay, so if you understand that, then you understand that the framework is there. It's in place. All we've got to do is make it work, to populate and make it work. We need four people. You need four people in every county, okay? You need an administrator, and you need the treasurer, secretary, and the, just the basic four structure.
We need just four administrators all doing the same work, the same duty. The one may be more knowledgeable than the other, but that's the only difference.
Okay,
the other thing is a secretary, a hired secretary that is not part of the four. That'll be sitting at his desk 8 hours, 5 days a week, doing all of the paperwork and the necessary duties that we will set up for her or him.
I'm not here to tell you what to do with this. You've got your set thing set up, and God bless you. Okay. What I'm saying though is that those four are the core and all that is needed in the counties.
They are the doorway. They are the doorway to the grand jury. They are the ones that will administrate the grand jury or the trial jury. They will have the first 8 hours to teach them what real law is and what their duties are, and they get to judge both facts and law, and they get to decide what the penalty is, and the judge has nothing to say about anything. And so we'll make sure they understand that. and then we become the access door to anybody that has a complaint, whether it's a group of people, whether it's a board of review, whether it's just one person down the road that has a problem. Our door and our phones will always be open to be able to talk to people and do the right thing, and if need be, get them before the grand jury to tell their story.
We'll work that out, okay? But I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to be in court, and I'm going to be getting the names so that I can get the affidavits going. And when I get done with them tomorrow, then I'm going to be in contact with you, and we'll get this ball rolling. I do need your help on this.
Make speed on that because again, I got to get through that and put it in a digestible way for Thursday. Tomorrow's Tuesday, the next day is Wednesday, and then voila, we're at Thursday. So I need it ASAP.
Yep, you got it. So I'm going to close with that. But listen, I come in peace. I mean you no harm. I want to work with you. I always have wanted to work with you. Okay. The differences we've had are, you know, they're minor differences as far as I'm concerned. And that's why I don't subscribe to some of the other people who are a little bit more vocal in their concerns here. But look, there is no other alternative. This is it. This is it.
Well, I appreciate that. Our purpose is to save the nation. It has nothing to do with me or you.
That's it. That's it. So God bless you. God bless every one of you that are doing this. You have no earthly idea how important or timely your involvement in this is. We're going to show you.
Believe me, we do. Believe me, we do. So, and yeah, we're amazed every day. We do see different sides of this that we never saw before. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate the call, Carl.
Talk to you tomorrow.
God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Next call, 206-765. 206. I hear something in the background.
Hi.
Hi.
John, can you hear me? This is Laura.
I can hear you. Yep.
This is from Washington. Anyway,
how you doing?
Good. I want to thank you for all your work, but I just have some really interesting news. We were had a meeting yesterday and to help some other people that wanted to be grand jurists, and they're from Everett, north of Seattle. And he has a friend that's a really humanitarian lawyer. And this humanitarian lawyer wants to be able to do work with us. And he said 2 months ago he went into the court in Everett and mentioned the common law grand jury, and they shut down the whole court for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we realize this name is out there. It's gone beyond New York State now. It has gone national on a federal level at least.
So that, and also I have a friend that has a cable news show called Truth Versus News, and he'd like you to be on it.
Sure. Have him give me a call. As long as we can work a time, I have a tight schedule as far as having to be at meetings at night on you know, Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. But other than that, I should be able to work something in. You know, I just did a radio program.
It would be during the day. It would be
morning.
During the day.
Okay.
And
what am I saying? Yesterday morning, I just did a radio program this morning. I haven't posted it up yet, but go ahead. Yeah, during the day is good. I can work that in.
Okay, his name is Don Grun. So,
okay. Give him my number. You got my number, right?
I think so. Hold on. Well, is it on the website?
Yeah, 845-233. You have a pen?
Hold on a second.
Just make sure he calls me in the evening because he's probably not going to get me during the day. I'm not answering phones during the day anymore because I need to get work done. So,
okay, 845.
845-233-6560, and tell him he can come in. He's, you know, he could definitely catch me on a Thursday night, and we don't go. We've been working pretty good on Thursday nights with not having to go into the queue, and it's worked out very well. We don't have 10,000 people talking at a time, and people have kept their mics muted when they're not talking, and people have been taking turns, and it's been very civil. So we're going to continue that kind of a forum on our Thursday night program. So if he wants to come on Thursday night, there'll be an open mic in the beginning. He'll be able to. Well, this Thursday we're going to be doing a potential indictment, so he shouldn't necessarily. Well, he could be there, I guess. If he's one of the people of the United States, why not? He could come
well,
on.
Well, But if he wants to call you to get set up for one of his shows, he should call you.
Call me in the evening.
Night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wednesday night after 8:30. Let's see. There's Tuesday night after 8:30. Wednesday night after 8:30, and Friday night after 8:30. Saturday, and sometime Sunday.
Okay. I will get him.
Okay, that's Eastern time. You're on the West Coast.
Eastern time, right? Eastern Standard Time. Right. I'm gonna write that down too. Well, anyway, that's all I wanted to report. But thanks so much
for
all you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay. Next caller. 248-347.
Hi, John. This is David in Michigan. I think we talked about it once before. About the 18 U.S.C. Section 3332 mandating that the U.S. attorney, upon request of a citizen, to bring reports of crimes to the district's federal special grand jury, that they are compelled to do that, and that we have multiple letters.
What's the number? What's the
18
the
U.S.C.
number?
Section 3332.
Okay.
And here in Michigan, we have not, and I've been in the courts demanding this in both the executive branch and the judicial branch, demanding access to a grand jury. And I've had rulings against me saying that I don't have at the state level and at the federal level, saying I have no right to initiate criminal proceedings. I have no right to access a grand jury. These are federal rulings and state rulings. I've gotten to the point where they have told me that if I try this anymore, that they will sanction me. I've got that in the rulings at the state level and at the federal level, and so we have. I have numerous letters from other.
Let's step back just one step here. You know,
sure.
You are trying to access the grand jury, and they're preventing you from doing it.
That is correct. And I have.
Okay.
I have,
can you do an affidavit on that? Are you willing to do an affidavit and
calling in queue today? Because yes, I am willing to do that affidavit and send you the evidence,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Try to put this together. Call me tomorrow. As a matter of fact, let me renege on during the day. At this point forward, I'll take calls during the day tomorrow if I'm at my phone, and I will be at my phone most of the day anyway. But I'll take calls. Nobody call me, though, please, unless they are calling me about a case concerning they're willing to do an affidavit, particularly on a case concerning a grand jury or a trial jury. Something going on with the juries to show that it just doesn't work and that this is a problem that's rampant across the United States in all 3,142 counties. So, yeah, I will be available on the phone tomorrow. And if you don't get me, you know, try back in an hour. Don't leave a message, though, but just
okay.
Try back in an
hour.
I
do have your number. I can verify it here. How about your email? You doing anything with that? Because if you want an affidavit,
John,
I'll probably have to scan it, and then after I notarize it, and then send it to you.
Right. John, J-O-H-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And when you do the affidavit, make two copies, two originals, and mail me one of the originals. You get my address on the donation page down towards the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Let's see,
on which page?
You can email. I'll tell you what, instead of emailing, you better faxing. Can you fax?
I'd have to find. I don't have a fax machine. But
okay, email will do fine. You know, we'll talk. Just follow up on it because I don't get all my emails sometimes.
Okay. And the physical address is where?
Oh, I don't know it offhand. It's you'll have to go out onto the website.
Well, you said somewhere on the webpage?
Yeah, on the donation page.
Donation page.
Let me see.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I don't even remember the address. It's Albany Post Road, 39-something. But,
okay.
But, yeah, you'll see it. Just go to the donation page down on the bottom. Hyde Park, New York.
Okay, but that is something that you want, and I'll send you the exhibits to go with it. It's good stuff, and it shows a lot of work here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Anybody else that has this kind of case, we definitely want to hear from you. And if we don't get them on
Thursday.
John,
one more time on the phone number, please.
Yeah, 845-233-6560.
6560.
Right. And if we don't get it in early enough to deal with it on Thursday, we'll come back together in the next week to finish off the other cases. The more cases we can get concerning jury tampering and fraud and
this
control,
is obstruction.
Puppetry, obstruction of justice, all of that stuff is great.
Correct.
That's what we need.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we didn't even plan this. I mean, this is beautiful that this is going to happen the way it is. It just started last week, us realizing this. So. Okay, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet.
Okay, next call, 828-284, wireless.
Hey, John. It's Jay from North Carolina.
How you doing, Jay?
Hi. I listened to the call from Wednesday night with Rod.
Yes.
That call was great. Do you have that posted on the site anywhere?
It's up on the site right now. I usually post it the same day or at worst the following day. But if you go and highlight news and then you come down and click on radio interview, okay, you will see right down in there all of the radio interviews. And the last one we'd done was AIB Radio with Rod Class. Now, I did one this morning with Clayton, I forget his last name, but Clayton Douglas. And I didn't post that yet, but I will post that tonight or tomorrow morning maybe. But just for people to know, he was setting up a new system, and his side was really bad. It's hard to hear a lot of it, but I got a big mouth, so I did most of the talking anyway. And so my stuff came in very clear, but you'll hear that his side is breaking up. And I tried to do the best I can to guess what he was really saying to me. But anyway, it's there.
Well, I was also in the middle of listening to his Friday show, and he talked about you guys doing it right. He said, I've heard a lot of people talking about grand juries, but these guys are doing it right.
Well, so yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, that's why we realized we saw Rod was doing it right, too. I mean, we may have some disagreements here or there, and I'm sure him with us, but basically he's right on the mark, and that's why we're happy to have that connection with Rod and be able make use of his specialties.
From what I understand, he's been doing it a long time.
Yes. That he has.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, you said you sent out all the books. You still have books for more orders, though, right?
No, they're all going out. They went out today. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 boxes here that were rejected, and I got 3 new ones came in today. So I got 8 that hopefully will go out tomorrow.
So you don't have any more books for somebody to order?
Oh, no. I got plenty of books. I got lots of books.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I got all the orders out finally. I mean, there are people waiting for this. Some people have been waiting for months. The books came in last week, and the boxes came in on Saturday, and we boxed everything before the weekend was over, and this morning I went down and sent them all off. Spent a little fortune in mailing, let me tell you, a lot of boxes.
Did you do that media mail?
Did it media mail, yep.
But
even with that, the bigger, a huge amount of money, let me tell you. There's no way we really could afford to have done it with some of the other mail. I mean, we had about 8 boxes that went out, or maybe 9, that were 1,000 in them, and they weighed 68 pounds. And the limit is 70, I think, but it was 66 or 68 pounds. And they cost $33 and change to mail each one of those.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So that was pretty cheap considering, You're very cheap.
Yeah, that's incredible. The other thing I wanted to mention was, I don't know if you want to talk about the website. I kind of unmuted when Gerard was talking about the website, the email about the $20.
Okay.
I happened to be on a call with you when you got the call from the person to set up the website, and I was floored by the prices.
Right.
But the website, from what I understand, has 7 backup servers, It has anti-hacking protections.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff. I'd like to see more. I'm going to continue to talk about more, but yes, it's got a lot of stuff.
It's got tech support. I don't know how much you paid. I don't know if you want to say how much you paid, but the woman was talking about sites going upwards of $60,000 a month.
They could get quite rich here, and I was surprised to find the guy that we found, and he's very reasonable, pretty nice guy. He's a little slow for us. I think he's overloaded is what it is. But, you know, it's reasonable, and we get good service, I think. You know, we got tech service 24/7. We pay for it, and it's not that expensive at all. I think we have a good site. We're going to be adding and making it more sophisticated as we go. As a matter of fact, people are going to be surprised on how sophisticated eventually this site will become. But we're not pushing too heavily on that right now because we have to collect monies to do other things more important, which will help to make it a little more sophisticated anyway. But eventually, when we really start to get the membership going and people and most people are giving us $5 a month, you know, it's, look at it as a membership fee, but you don't have to pay it. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it, you know, and we don't want to block anyone from the information. So that's why we don't charge. We don't require anybody to give us money, and we don't charge for things that we've put together and we've written a few books, you know. I mean, we charge for the handbooks. They have to be professional. They got the bar chart or the bar code in there and everything. Very professional, pretty book, and it was rolled off, of course, by a professional printer, and I'm impressed by it. We'll make a few changes the next time around, but book is really nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to get you a check for $100 for my books, and then the rest of it, I'll just get $100, and the rest of it you can put toward the donation and or use some of it to cover other people's shipping that got their orders in beforehand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right now, pretty much everything that's coming in now, the sales that are coming in now are going to be paying for the books. I mean, we had to get $14,000 up to pay for the books, and we did not get enough orders in order to do that when we ordered it. We're blessed by somebody who gave us a pretty decent amount of money. And then we took all of that and put a few thousand into that and paid for the books and got them going. So now, at this point, what books we have left is pretty much we don't have to pay for anything other than shipping. And so almost everything will go into the bank, and we need to accumulate, maybe 25 or 30,000 so that we can maybe buy 100,000 books this time instead of 50,000. So we paid about 14,000, which covered the printing of the books, packaging and shipping, taxes and everything. So it's 14 and change, and that was 50,000. And I think 100,000. Oh goodness, probably will run about. 14 twice is 28, so probably about 22,000. Or so for 100,000. See, the more you buy, of course, as you know, the cheaper you can get it for. And if we can buy 100,000, then we'll lower the price a little. If not, then we'll keep it. Well, if we can only get 50,000, then we'll keep the price where it's at. So.
All right. Well, that's all I had, really.
Okay. And by the way, people should consider buying the Pocket Constitutions. I'm looking for mine now. I forget the website that's on. Here it is. We should put something up on the website. I think I'll put a link up there so that people can go out and purchase these. And they're cheaper than ours because they buy by the millions. And
John, am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Is that just a regular Pocket Constitution, or does that also have the jury?
Yeah, this comes from the NCC website. I'm looking for the website here. It's National
have
Center for Constitutional Studies. And
have
in
you
this,
seen
they
the,
have the.
Have you seen the Citizen Rule Book?
I have seen that. This book here, it just has the Constitution, has the Declaration of Independence, it has some Founding Father quotes, and a little bit of other information. They do have a nice index back here where you can find things quickly. And I want to tell you something. You put one of these booklets in your pocket with our booklet, which is the Common Law Handbook for Juries, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. You put these two little books into your pocket, and you're ready for court, let me tell you. You got everything, that's your ammo right there.
What did you think about that citizen rule book? Because it starts out with the jury's handbook.
Yeah, I've seen what your rights are as a jurist.
So.
Yeah, I've never analyzed it, so I don't know. I breezed through it. I didn't read it. I might even have one. I should go looking around to see if I have one to read it to see once.
I always liked the citizen's rule book because it had all those cases that we use in our court cases, John.
It's really cool.
Montgomery versus Madison. It's a very, very good book. And that's another one that people should have, kind of complements, you know, the book that we wrote, you know what I mean?
It starts out as your rights as a jurist.
Right.
That you're the most
more
powerful
heavily on the jury
in the courtroom.
Than the Constitution. You know what I mean? It is more heavily on the jury, you know? I think our book is the most complete book, though, when it comes to the jury and the Constitution, you know what I mean? But that little citizen's rule book is a very good book. I mean, it's pretty well-rounded, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look at that. Analyze it a little more.
I think on the next one around, we have two pages in the we can add two more pages in our law handbook, common law handbook. So I'll be looking to play around with that for the next order. So.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, thanks. Jay. Talk to you later. Thank you. Okay, let's take the next question. Next caller, 530-598. Wireless call.
Hey, John, Kelly Mordecai here. How you doing?
How you doing, Kelly?
Good. Hey, I don't get a chance to read what I sent you. Independent counsel / presentment. Or maybe Gerard looked at it, but...
I haven't had a chance. Gerard, did you get a hold of that? Matter of fact, I did breeze through it, if I recall, but...
What was it again?
It was a lot of papers. What was the name of it again?
It was called Independent Counsel, Another Way Through Presentment. About 37 pages, but I found some more stunning stuff. Yeah, I found some more stunning stuff, some quotes I want to read you.
See, when it comes to something like that, it's always best, if Gerard's got the time to go through it, or we got to get somebody that we can really send that stuff to that can do their due diligence and gleam out the things we need and then kind of brief me on it. Because to spend time to read 37 pages, I got so many other things I need to be there instead
well,
of here.
Yeah, the text
and
is
so
only like
hard,
20... Well, there's a lot of attachments that really help, but... It's about 20 some pages of text and just attachments you can look at, including, by the way, a petition to a grand jury in Florida, federal, that the Justice Department wrote. And we have the Justice Department seal on the rejection letter. Basically, they said, we're not in a position of mediating individual complaints. Sincerely, U.S. Attorney Ferrer, of the Citizens Complaint Division of the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mind-blowing.
It is true that they're not mediators, though. You see, they see themselves as judges.
They blocked a petition. But anyway, so I'm discovering more quotes from judges in the 1700s. You know, you call it, the Revolution 76. We had a Constitution 1787 approved in 88. So we have a thinking, if you will, and I would call it the spirit of 1776, or the spirit of 76. And these judges have some really good quotes. But let me read a few to you, because these are stunning. Let's see. There was a judge in Mississippi. He wrote, it's the early 1800s, actually. "We do not mean to insinuate that you should omit to point out any irregularity in any department of this government, for that is undoubtedly a duty which the good people of this country require of you." So obviously, you present and look at the misfunctions of the government. Let's see. This is Judge John Pickering of New Hampshire in 1790. The institution of a grand jury is the most effective check to arbitrary power and oppression. And they knew this. So this is in their charges to grand juries, which you're not going to hear mm-hmm. these kind of charges today, but this is the way it was set up.
Right.
Here's another one. Judge Dana, Judge Francis Dana, Massachusetts Grand Jury, 1797. Besides another powerful check against oppression from any of our constituted authorities, is formed by your institution, the grand jury. For to you it belongs, gentlemen, to watch over and protect the safety and rights of individuals as well as the public. Here's another one.
Yeah, that is some good stuff. I'll tell you, can you cut and paste, sort of like pull out the nuggets and send that to me in a word?
I'm working on them. I got several more of these. I mean, I'm just, even John Jay, he said, look, direct your attention also to the conduct of the national officers, and let not any corruption, fraud, extortion, or criminal negligence, with which you may find any of them justly chargeable, passed unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, to inquire and to present the offenses against the law of the United States is the duty the law imposes upon you. Your inquiries and presentments are to be confined to offenses of that description. And he's using presentments again. So, I mean, it's stunning. There's an actual book you might want to get. It costs $300 though, but it's called Gentlemen of the Grand Jury. And it's two volumes, and somebody went through and exhaustively found a bunch of charges to the grand jury, which is obviously, the name of the book, Gentlemen of the Grand Jury. And this is where I'm getting some of these quotes, and I'm finding some others. I found one in 1864 that had the same theme, 1870, Justice Department.
Is this in electronic form or hardcover, hard book?
I haven't got it myself, but some people that are researching it are getting me quotes from this.
Well,
and I'm doing my own Google
quotes.
Search.
I'd love to get these quotes, Oh,
they're stunning, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted
to collect them together and email them to me?
Oh, yeah, if we can email back and forth, too, because this is really stunning,
sure
the thinking.
Copy Gerard, because sometimes I don't get the mail, so. But I did get this, and I didn't. Yep.
Yeah, well, what's his email, so may I ask?
What?
What is Gerard's email?
Gerard.
Yeah,
I think it's live.
It's Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, 53, at live.com, .com, L-I-V-E.
I'll repeat that back. G-E-R-A-R-D, 53, at live?
Yep.
Live.com. Okay, cool.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to that and copy him, and if I don't get it, he'll get it to me too. So, okay, Gerard, did you get that other paper? Take a look to see if you got a copy of the other one. If you did, go through and glean what you can.
Who was that from? So I can, because sometimes I don't recognize the heading, I might not open it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send it again. But basically, I go through 37 pages on the game show that the Justice Department is doing, and in the words of an attorney, Montgomery Sibley, he summarized by saying, the executive branch has committed a coup d'etat upon the grand jury. And we have to expose
this. Wow, who said that? Who said that?
Attorney Montgomery Gentry in one of his pleadings.
What year?
Just a few years ago.
Okay.
I think
it was
12,
like,
yeah, 2012.
The subject line in that. What was the subject line in that thing you sent me, or the?
I tell you what, I'll send it again, and I'll send it with I'll send it with this, okay? I'll start with Judge Jay. Judge Jay's charges, okay?
Okay, good. And
I'll put that in
that
the RE, okay, and then you can start gleaning some of these. But yeah, they kept using the word presentment. It's like. And they don't even use, they call presentment now obsolete. It's obsolete or antiquated. Like, really? You're scared of it.
Right. The courts haven't seen a presentment in God knows how long. So there's no memory in the people that are in the system. There's no memory of it. And
well,
we're going to open up their memory.
I sure hope
them.
So.
Well, the guys that remember it have bad memory.
Well, in U.S. versus Cox, a 1965 case, where Cox was a good guy. He was a good judge. He told the USA, I'm going to give you a half hour. If you don't prepare the indictment, well, you know, it's coming. Comes back in half an hour. And he says, well, I called the Justice Department. They said, don't prepare the indictment and don't sign it. Okay, contempt of court. U.S. Marshal, turn him over to the county jail until he changes his mind. And then the good judge, Judge Cox, I think it's E. Harold Cox, he got in a lawsuit, the Justice Department sued him and went to appellate court, and those judges said, oh, we haven't seen presentments in decades, and they also said that an indictment in a federal grand jury was null and void without the signature of the United States Attorney. And in my paper, I described this. This is complete, like Attorney Montgomery discussed, was that this is a coup d'etat by the executive branch. No indictment, no accountability.
Null
because
and void the Constitution, huh?
Well, it doesn't say in the Constitution that a United
well,
States attorney has to sign the indictment.
Yeah, the reason why they need the signature is because, and they get away with it, is because they're a corporation and they're in a chancery court. They get away with all this stuff. They're not in the court of law, and we haven't been in one for a long time, and it's very difficult to get one open and going and moving. I mean, we have done it, but it's difficult. And of course, that's where we want to head to, where every court is a court of law.
Well, what I'm hoping is that they won't be able to stop a presentment. I mean, a properly done presentment, and these jokers are going to need
can't.
A fresh change of underwear.
Yeah, they cannot stop the presentment. Look, this is why it's so big and huge in New York. A lot of people don't realize the big win we've had. It's just we haven't seen the fruit of it yet, but it's coming, believe me. The fact that they took it in meant they had roundtable discussions about this, and we know because it took them a long time before they put it in. And even before they even mailed it, it even took even more time. So because we know when they got it and we know when we sent it. And we see the dates on it that's stamped. And that's telling us is they really, really, you know, labored over this paper, and the end results is they had to file it, and they knew it because we let them know on the front page, you know, and we sent a file on demand and all the necessary quotes of law and jail and all that stuff, and so they filed it. Now they don't know what to do. They know it's got to move. It hasn't been moving.
Was this state of New York or a federal court in New York?
Oh, this is the federal court. Yeah, this is the Northern District Federal Court here in New York. And so, we're going to be making some moves that's going to blow their minds. I mean, just what we're talking about. This is going to blow their minds. And we also got two more papers that we have to do to settle up on the paperwork that's already in there. So, we want to do some more information. Information is revealing. And these judges have got to act upon them. And they know they do. So anyway.
We'll be checking in with you.
Get that stuff out, and we'll talk to you, okay?
Later.
All right, thanks. Bye. Okay, next call, 239 number, 851.
Hi, John. Thank you for everything you do. And
hello, who is this?
This is Ron Angel. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing? It's hard to hear you, but go ahead.
Okay, how about now? Is it better?
You just get a little closer to the mic if you can.
How about now?
That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to thank you for everything you've done. And I want to bring into play a really important book to reference. And you can download this book as a PDF, but I purchased it because in the back of the book it has a series of U.S. codes that are very pertinent to what's going on. And the book is entitled Drugging America, A Trojan Horse by Rodney Stitch. And Rodney Stitch was a World War II veteran. And he also has a book, Lawyers and Judges, American Trojan Horses. And I don't have that book yet, but its ISBN number is ISBN 978-0-932-438-16-4. And in this book that I purchased and that I have a PDF of, Drugging America, a Trojan Horse, it's very pertinent to the beginning of your call. it says here that decades of drug smuggling by government people, the CIA Arkansas drug activities, Department of Justice protected drug smugglers and terrorists. And inside of this book, it has sworn affidavits by Air Force people and
former
government
people. Can you get me a copy, electronic copy of that? That's something we want to do. Definitely would like to do something as an information on that in the near future.
Yeah, but I would also like, you know, I bought this book with cash, and they asked me for my phone number. I was significantly harassed up until the time I picked the book up. Okay, so we know what they can do with GPS location and, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I bought a bookstore, paid cash, gave my phone number, and I was harassed until the book did finally arrive, and then I picked it up. But I'm really curious to see, you know, Rodney Stitch was a really large hero. He worked for the federal government. He has a series of, like, 10 different books. And the one book that I'm looking at, it says here, Texas National Guard, Gulf Cartel, CIA, and Drugs, page 441. Blonde Bombshell, CIA, Drugs, and Bush, page 419. And I'm going to give everyone the number of this book. Again, this is Drugging America, second edition, and this ISBN number is ISBN number 978-0-9432-438-11-9. Interesting, in chapter 18 of this book, Endemic Corruption, Cover-Ups, Tragedies, page 549. Chapter 17, Department of Justice Lawyers, Greatest Threat to All Americans, page 491. So I will send you the PDF of this book. You can print it. But I carry a copy of this book with me at all times.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I think I can create an information from that, especially if it has affidavits in it.
Yes, they're sworn and notarized. So I suggest, you know, you should bring me... if you can get the copy of the book, it's a really nice, convenient thing as opposed to a giant PDF that you printed out. You know, it's official.
Yeah, but you see, a PDF is great because you can cut and paste out of it.
Well,
you
I'm going to send it to you immediately. This book it shows the endemic problem with the drugs being brought in, and as we know, the British used drugs against the Chinese, addicted them, and caused them to be slaves. This is exactly what was done with the drug problem in America. The drug war was a war on American people. It's so obvious. And the drugs are now in pharmaceuticals, the oxycodones or codones or whatever. It's so sad. And now every child is being fed mental health drugs that are addictive and that make them completely unable to do any science and math. So I will send you the PDF of that book, but I did not yet purchase the other book, and I think that one would be a really interesting one. I haven't read it, and I don't have a PDF version, but it talks about, you know, Rodney Stitch, like I said, was a very heroic man. World War II veteran, and he worked for the government. So he's quite an authoritative figure. And, again, the book that I don't have that I'd like to see is called Lawyers and Judges, American Trojan Horses by Rodney Stitch. So I will send you the PDF, John. And I'm sorry what I wanted to say also is I've seen other good groups get hijacked by infiltrators. And, you know, it could be a Blackwater employee, it could be an NSA employee, it could be a CIA agent, it could be an NSA agent, it could be a Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
Or they're just
traitors.
Well,
one of the ways...
They're violating the law. What they're traitors, what they're doing. if they try to join your movement and destroy it, that's treason. End of story. Okay. And I'm sorry that I've seen so many different wonderful groups in other arenas, you know, victims groups and advocacy groups for victims get hijacked. This cannot happen with this group because it's too important. Okay, it's really, you know, a beautiful thing that you've done, and God bless you. And that's all I'm going to say. And I will send you that PDF immediately. Okay. And
that's why we did put together, you know, up under the Jurors tab, you click on administrator, and we have three videos up there. And one of them is NLA state meetings. You see, if we're going to be hijacked, we're going to be hijacked at the state meetings. That's where they're going to take control, is on a state level. And they clearly can't do it on a national level, but they can do it on a state level. And we've had people taking us down the wrong direction on a state level, and that's why we wrote out how to run a state meeting. And anything outside of that criteria, people need to question it. And, I mean, maybe somebody has something good that is good to run through, but they should bring it. If they're going to change or add, they need to bring it here to the Monday night call and propose it. And if it's good, then we're going to go along with it, of course.
Florida has, and we'll put it within
the criteria.
Huh? Florida has a long-term endemic problem of hijacking America's retired community because of the promise of warm weather. Okay? It's been a decade-long assault on New Yorkers, New Jerseyans, Michiganders, everybody from the North and the East for decades, possibly even before the Depression. In fact, there's evidence that the Depression was caused by hijackings and poisoning with the pufferfish and monkfish, which shuts the breathing ability down on trains from the North and the East, hence causing a depression. I mean, if you kill people,
the way that they caused the depression ultimately, there was a guy, Norman Dodd, who became a chief investigator for the Reese Committee in the 40s, late 40s, uh-huh. early 50s. And uh-huh. and he was revealing, you know, the Reese Committee was put forward because there was un-American activities going on within our government. So they became aware of the stuff we now know about. And they were trying to kill it back then. And uh-huh. This guy, Norman Dodd, was a banker, and he was the perfect guy for the job, and he became the chief investigator. And now he tells a story of how, because he was involved in the Morgan, he was in the Morgan Bank and had a high position at the time, and when the collapse came, and he went out to investigate why it collapsed. And after looking and searching and studying the matter, a two-year research program that he was on, his conclusion was very simple, okay? And ultimately what they had done was that they stopped printing money, okay? They were taking money back and destroying it and stopped printing it. And then they put some chaotic information out there. People did the run on the bank, and that was it. There was no cash. Things collapsed. So they caused it. And the way they brought it back, they printed more cash. They got the cash flow. You see, there wasn't enough money flow. And sure. And back in those days, particularly, money was much more used, the paper money, than we do today. Today we have the debit cards and everything. So, but that was it. That's how they got us into the Depression. It was a very easy, simple thing. They set up a panic. First they cut back the money, and then they set up a panic and a run for the banks, and everything sure. collapsed.
But if you think about it, the law of supply and demand is such, with no demand, you have no need for supply. If, say, you know, I know from Florida's history, the iron lung was invented right here in Florida. That's because people were getting off the train from New York and other eastern states and did not have the ability to breathe. You only could survive if you had enough money to stay in the iron lung for 6 months. What would do that? The pufferfish or the monkfish, okay? It's a drug. It's that voodoo drug that simulates death. Okay, and I'm just saying, Florida has huge problems with lies, corruption, theft of the assets, cutting off communication. So I'm really curious to hear what's going to go on Thursday, because they are the seat of national problems, and they've been covering it up for many, many decades, okay? And they will do anything. They are the biggest con artists and disinfo agents out there, okay? And so I'm going to be really curious to hear this Thursday call. And that, you know, and I wanted to tell you for sure what you said about all the people, the poor people in the jails, they are the symptom of the problem. The problem was put in place by those that brought in the drugs. The ones that brought in
drugs
was the CIA. And that was in
They brought them right to our schools. They brought them right to our schools. They brought the drugs in, and they demoralized our children. They made them absolute idiots, and they're coming out of school with drugs, and they're idiots. They have no desire to do anything but stay up all night and play on their silly Nintendos or whatever they call them these days, and they sleep all day. It's insane.
Yep.
They don't know anything about anything.
Talk with you. Listen, you got a half hour. You got eight people. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Have a nice night, and I'm going to send you that PDF.
See, we're the two biggest idiots, right? Yes, but go ahead.
I'll share the PDF, the Drugging America Trojan Horse book by Rodney Stitch. But I have the book in my hand now. I drive with this book in my possession. I have a PDF copy, yes. But if you need to flip to a affidavit of an Air Force witness that said the CIA was bringing drugs in Lauderdale, that may not be alive anymore, but it's sworn and notarized, it's within the book, okay?
Right.
I don't know if you have that in your PDF copy. This guy was a real hero, Rodney Stitch, and he always will be. He was a World War II hero, and these books that he wrote, and I don't know the guy, but I mean, this one book is amazing, okay? And in the back, it gives all these U.S. codes.
Is it still being published?
Yeah, I probably was the first person to buy it in, 10, 12 years, okay?
Yeah, I'm wondering maybe you could do a little research, if you can call the publisher and see if he has any idea where we can get access to the original
affidavit. No, I got it at the bookstore, Barnes & Borders, okay?
Right. But if you call up the publisher, okay, maybe we could trace down somewhere or somehow the original. In other words, try to locate to get a certified copy of the original affidavit.
Oh,
that's what we need. If we can get someone to research that would be huge, because this, I think, is big.
Well, I'm sure, I have a friend that I can talk to. I'll call you tomorrow, okay? We'll
okay,
talk about
yeah,
that.
Give me a call.
I don't want to talk about that on the call. All right.
Okay.
God bless
Bye.
You all. Thank you.
Bye, you too. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to try to move along. Gerard, this is your job to make this happen, okay? It's 11:28, and we got, eight calls, you said? So make it happen. Next caller is John.
This is Gerard. I ordered some business cards.
Okay.
And I liked one of them looked like with the guys on the front. I didn't know it said administrator up in the left-hand corner.
Right. And what do you want to do? You want to get them without that saying that?
Well, no. Is that fine if it says administrator?
Well, those cards were put up for those people who are taking the position of administrator. I ordered some myself, and I've got some cards. I haven't really handed many of them out. We should put up just the regular card. We have NLA cards without saying administrator on it.
Right, and you don't want it to say grand jury foreman. That's most important, because I think
right.
mine
Well,
has
we don't have
that
on that. Did it?
Well,
no,
I had it
no,
on
not,
mine. But that's
not the ones that we're doing online, though. But I'll
no,
go through and check them.
No, I think I did my own at the time, but I that was a mistake I made.
Right. Yeah, we were ignorant in the beginning. We really were building in the very, very, very early stages. We were building grand juries, and then we realized, wait, what are we doing? We can't build the grand jury. We have to build the administration for the grand jury. You know, it was an epiphany we had midstream, and so we changed very quickly.
And I just crossed out the part that says jury foreman and hand them out anyway.
Yeah, because I'm actually one of the organizers, but the administrator.
Right. Yeah, there should be some NLA cards out there, and I'm just taking a real quick look as we're talking right now, because I know we designed NLA cards, and we designed also the other cards, the Let's see. Click here to view and order business cards. Yeah, we've done NLA cards, and then we've done administrator cards. So one is an administrator from the standpoint of, you know, that you're with the administration of the common law grand jury, your administrator. And the other one on the other side is just a card for you to make up with our website on it. You can put your name, and it says only the people can save America, and you put your phone and your fax and your email address, and it's got nationallibertyalliance.org. That's a card that everyone can get or should get. Even the administrator should get that card. And on the back of it, it has God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secured when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson. And then on the grand jury side of the card, on the back side of the grand jury card, it says the duty of the common law grand jury, if anyone's unalienable rights have been violated or removed without a legal sentence of their peers from their lands, their homes, their liberties, their lawful rights, we, the 25, shall straightway restore them. And if a dispute shall arise concerning the matter, it shall be settled according to the judgments of the 25 grand jurists, the sureties of the peace. And that's the Magna Carta, 1215. So I think
that's
they're
right,
nice looking
like
cards.
I like the back of that card. And I didn't pay any attention to the administrator.
Right, right. Well, you know, you could have probably called them up and removed the administrator if you wanted, or you could have the back of that card put on the other card, I'm sure. You know, I think there's a phone number in there if you're ordering them. So.
Okay. As long as there's no big beef in it, I'll just put a line through it, that's all.
Right. All right. And, yeah, so anybody who wants the cards, they were a pretty good deal. Let me see, what were we offering them for? Let me go back. Yeah, the 250 cards, single side was $44.99, so it's $45. But for an extra $2, $46.99, so $45.47. For the extra $2, you get the two sides. And postage is included in the price. In other words, the shipping is included. Now, the best deal is 500 cards because for an additional $5, you get 500, twice the amount. So so that's the way to go.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, that was it. Then you were talking. What you were just talking about. You know, when somebody wanted to know what to do with these judges and stuff that have violated everybody's rights. You should just add up whose rights they violated and let them take the penance for the amount of people that they violated.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you know, if they ever incarcerate me, okay, for every day I spend in jail, I'm going to see to it that that judge spends, or that the prosecutor and all those people that conspired against me, I'm going to require them 20 days for every day I spend in there.
You can't get those days back ever.
Yeah, you can't. So. Okay, anything else, John?
That's it. I you know,
okay.
Good for me. All right.
I appreciate the call. All right,
okay.
Let's go to the next caller. Gerard, keep me moving. Is that Stephanie?
Hi, this is Stephanie Strong from South Dakota. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
Okay. When you had the meeting last week, you had mentioned something about Kickstart for donating, and I looked for that, and I didn't find it. Is it up there? Or?
Well, Kickstarter, they rejected us. You know, it's too much reality for them. If you go to Kickstarter, and you just Google Kickstarter, and you can go out and see what they're about, I mean, you got these people that want to start a band and they need $20,000, or you got some group that wants to go on a trip down to New York City and, you know, and they need money, and they do these videos and they tell why, and then they offer people things which is supposed to be creative, and they put them on there and people actually give them money. I want to tell you, some people collect $100,000-$200,000, you know, to do these different projects. So I figured, well, let's share, you know, this project and give Liberty, and we were going to give as a gift to everyone who donated a copy of the Common Law Grand Jury book. And we did a nice video. But I just got word this afternoon from them that they rejected us because they didn't give us a reason why, but they said we don't fit into the criteria of what they're looking for in the creativeness. You know, it's too much for them, too much reality. But I do know that there's other programs that do this.
I got a lot of notes in the tech chat. I took notes. People gave all kinds of sites, and I looked at some of them. They look good.
Let's talk tomorrow about that.
They do all kinds of different things along these lines. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because we got such a great program. I think we put a great video out. I mean, I like the video we did, and it's short. It's 7 minutes long, so it's nothing real long. And then I did a nice write up. You know, I used every word I can get in there. You know, you only do so much, but I massage it to get in what I got to get in. But anyway, we'll go to another place.
This one, Amanda, it has community services, education, human rights, medical health, arts and culture. It's got a lot of stuff on it that we can fit into.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, I was asking because we were going to send $200 for South Dakota for mail in the envelopes, and then we'll send another $100 for some more Rocket Concert books.
Right. We appreciate that, and if all the states follow your lead on this, we can accumulate the money to send this out. You know, ultimately, I'm impatient too. You know, I get excited and I want to get this thing going, but on the other end, I always kind of sedate myself with reality. This is God's plan. Ultimately, we don't have the money yet because it's not the right timing to put it out, I guess. Even though I might think we're running late on it, we'll run on time. We're on God's time. So that's how He creates patience in us.
That's a fact. We learn a lot going along here. Well, that's the other thing I wanted to ask was, when we first started constituting the counties and there was the directions about which paperwork to file, and then once we went and did the whole state, we added the other piece of paper, and at one meeting there was some talk about how many affidavits that you wanted for each county. So I guess I was asking for like a how-to on to how to finish up and constitute these counties that get your four people and how many affidavits that you want.
Right.
Just a
three affidavits for each county, and the paper and the signing of the front page can be by anyone. They didn't have to be at that meeting to sign the front page of the declaration. And so the declaration needs to be signed. But you know what? We're going to end up going in and really those papers will be filed after the fact. And, you know, eventually they should be all be filed anyway for a memorial. And where they should need to be filed really is in the county clerk. And the court clerk is also sent one just to put them on notice that we're coming, really. And in both cases, it's for a memorial. It's just to be in the records for a memorial. And it becomes part of history and establishes what we're doing. You know, again, what we'd done was not necessary, okay? But it was honorable. It was logical. You know, we put out the newspaper ads, and we just invite people, even though people don't usually come, and we just do an appropriate thing to do. And it also gave us time to do something because we knew we had to build we had to build knowledge, we had to build the website, we had to build communications, we had to get people coming to meetings, we had to grow, we had to start to get an excitement about constituting counties and constituting states, and all of this plays a role in participating, growing, learning, and communicating to get us to the position where we are right now to springboard into the system, and I think it worked pretty well.
Yes, it did. It did. And Iowa is coming on the 24th, right?
That'll be the last state. We're done, all 50 states. And let me tell you, watch out, judicial process.
Well, and then that brings me to my last point there is I was going to send, I've got three cases that I was going to send that will fit into your federal case. They've got some testimony from the people that are in jail at this point. And it was there was a Dr. Picardi and Eugene Paulson and Spinneman. So I was going to attach those, and if you need something else from me for them,
yeah, any kind of an affidavit of the type that will deal with the corruption in the juries, grand jury, or trial, absolutely. And
okay.
Email them to me, fax them to me, whatever you could do. Email is fine, and they got to be affidavits, and we will try to do what we can with all these cases. And the more we get, the better we're off we are. Because what we're really doing is building a case to show the corruption nationally. This is RICO on steroids.
Well, yes, and in South Dakota, I don't know, we take so many federal funds here that there's crimes being every day here, every day on every level, with people's children, murders not being investigated from our attorney general.
Me, it's happening everywhere. You become aware in your town, in your county, in your state. And from everybody's perspective, everybody thinks it's worse than any place else in the world. The problem is it's the same everywhere. That's the real sad truth of this.
Yeah, well, and ballot access here as well, because I ran for Congress and my petitions got thrown out, and then they turned around and sued me for $40,000. Then Curtis tried to run for governor. They threw his petitions out, and the governor, the independent candidate, Mike Myers, they won't let the lieutenant governor, who's a very patriotic lady, won't let her on the ballot. And then they let somebody on the ballot that notarized their own petitions, which I brought that to the attention of the Secretary of State. And he was able to be on the ballot in the state of South Dakota. He was like a little minion for the governor. And there were several other ones that are doing the governor's work here. And then they turned around and sued me for $40,000 for frivolous and malicious lawsuit. I didn't get on the ballot. Curtis didn't get on the ballot. This Laura Hubble did not get on the ballot. And then we've got a gal, she was running for Senate, and they got her charged with 13 counts of election fraud for having.
We're gonna clean all that up. I mean, look at it. What you got going out there, we got going here. We're gonna clean it all up. It's a mess, and the grand jury, of course, is going to be able to clean it up, and we're going to return back the process to the people, there's a way to do it. There's a couple of ways to do this, but actually the grand jury can take the bull by the horns and deal with it completely and get rid of the wrongdoing, which is a top-down structure by private organizations, private corporations or organizations, and they take total control of the Democrat and the Republican party system. So it's a mess, but we're going to fix it.
Well, God bless you, and just pray that everybody get a little wisdom and some discernment and determination,
And let me take the opportunity to say the only way you're going to get discernment and the only way you're going to get wisdom is by the bread of life. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. If you're not opening your Bibles and you think you're having a relationship with God, trust me, you're not, because you're making them up in your mind. You've got the molten image in your mind, and because you got God that you created. And you need the God that is the creator of the universe who tells you who he is and how to be within his will. And the only way you're going to do that is to open your Bible. There is no other way.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, Stephanie. You too. Okay, we'll take the next caller. Gerard, you're not doing your job. You got to move me along here. Okay, Will, go right ahead. Will, W-I-L-L, you've been unmuted. Last call for Will. Will must be away from his phone. All right, I guess he'll have to get back into the box. Go to the next caller, 714-414.
Oh, my gosh. So this is by the time I get here, I chimed in very early on one of the discussions. I'll tell you anyway, but what I want to say about tonight's call is astonishing. I mean, everyone is interesting on each Monday, but the interesting directions, like you say earlier, you know, that things happen and opportunities and doors are open, and what tonight is astonishing in my mind. I think this is just really great, this new addition to all this. And then the people that called in with the affidavits and the different things that are additive to what you're describing and stuff. So I'm in awe in regards to that. Just amazing. I think it's just by the grace of God that this kind of stuff happens.
Well, amen. He's the captain. He's in control. And we try to let him, you know, we got to let him do his thing. So.
True enough. What I wanted to, well, two things, but last time I talked with you a couple of weeks ago, it was very late at the end, and then I got cut off, the call dropped for whatever reason, and it was just a housekeeping mm-hmm. thing. I'll get to that in a minute, but you talked about that, or there was somebody who talked about that police officer that said, you know, they didn't have to pay attention to the Constitution. I read that article, too, and what I was looking forward to see if I could find
yeah, it. Yeah, I saw it on YouTube. I saw it on YouTube, but go ahead.
Yeah, the guy, I read a little bit more about it, and the guy was a retired police officer he's back east, and he has a $167,000 pension, and then he's working part-time in another state, another city or something, and that's where he did what he said, you know, and the guy's an idiot. But anyway, he's not a sheriff, he's some kind of a police officer doing part-time, retired with a pension. So I was astonished to I looked. It was astonishing. So I'm just adding that little detail. I was going to maybe, anyway, that's that. But amazing, absolutely amazing. That I was taken aback big time by that. But it's almost not surprising in this day and age, sadly to say. And sometimes when the things that get reported on, you know, on the alternative media, as you read and stuff, it's hard to take, because sometimes it's like you wonder if it's there to just make you, to demoralize you in ways. But
it is. And look at, we are our own worst enemies. We're destroying ourselves, and it's all because of ignorance. And people have to realize that, you know. And again, it's spiritual ignorance, it's political ignorance, and it's judicial ignorance. Let me tell you, that's the three most important thing. Well, there you go with the judicial, of course, constitutional.
Yeah.
And the most important thing to give the direction of man are those three subjects, spiritual, political, and judicial. And those are the things men run away from. They don't talk about them. They're too dumb. They feel that they're too stupid. They don't know anything. They're not qualified. And ultimately, they aren't. But they should be. They should be educated. By the time you're in the eighth grade, you should be able to come out and have a conversation on any of these subjects.
I agree, and I've heard people that are generally, you know, the age group that are having this discussion and have talked about parents that have had eighth grade stuff that was as good as college. And I recall when I would hear things occasionally in primary school and maybe even in junior high sometimes. I remember it interested me, but, you know, even to the point of your word is your bond, or to find out certain things about the way the process worked, the judicial process. But you could, it's like these were only vestiges that some people somehow came to. You could, it wasn't taught in school. I didn't know how to find out about it. And that, and at the time, of course, I just, it was frustrating. And I just, okay, but it always stuck with me. So that was an example I lived through of in the 60s and 70s of when, you know, the our education was getting hacked. And then fortunately I got through some college that was good, and then I went to private school to learn my trade. But then since then, oh, my God, it's gotten so bad, and you can see how bad it has really gotten. But be that as it may, I know the education that NLA is about. We, you know, everybody's talked about when this gets rolling, you know, every county has to take their own bull by the horns and help with education and so on and so forth. That's not what I wanted to talk about. I think that's critically important. In fact, the education aspect of it is critically important to me personally, but, and I know two others as well. It's something that's very important that we do. I don't want to go on and much longer and take time. I know that there's a short time, but it was just one housekeeping thing. It's almost getting to look like good luck, but it's fatalities that says 3,131, and I heard you voice 3,142, and that's okay. And I do fully understand that you are extremely busy, and maybe the sweet trees are good luck or something. But I just brought that up again. That was the last thing about a small housekeeping thing on the front page site. But if it does get changed, you know, it's not going to kill anybody. It's just a chance to. I think the other things that we've talked about are more germane and
right.
And
there are 3,142 counties, and we used to have them up on the site. Somehow some of them got deleted, and we haven't been able to find them yet. So they may not really be deleted, but they're not being counted. So I'll have to talk with the tech on that to see if they can't locate what happened to those missing counties. So. But
wow,
no one's complaining that the county's gone, so.
Well, that's weird. What I'm talking about is actually on the sidebar right above the 44% of our $14,000 goal has been reached. It says counties, and then below that it says 3,133. Constituted, below that, 3,034. So,
right.
Okay, and so that somehow is a function of the counties that have lost? It actually is that what you're telling me?
There's 90 counties left to come in. Okay, and that'll bring us to 3,133. So there's 99 counties that need to come in, but there should be 3,142 counties when we're only showing 3,133 counties. So somewhere we're missing 11 counties. I mean, nine counties. Now we have. If everyone goes to their state. And, you know, counts their counties to make sure that each one is accounted for. We did have someone go from point to point looking at the county numbers on the page. And, you know, for instance, if you go to New York page, you'll see 62 counties on the top and 62 constituted. Well, that's how many counties there are in New York. So we've got them all accounted for. Maybe what we need to do is go down and count the literal counties that'll be difficult for anyone to do that. Anyway, if anybody's reporting that their county is missing, let us know.
So,
meanwhile, I'll try to figure out what happened there.
Yeah, and the last thing, when we lost the call last time, you were starting to explain this. I went to look at California, and I saw it looked like we had, I think it's 58, and that seemed to be consistent. But you're saying that in each one of those counties, of the total, each state has a sum, and somewhere in one of those states, it's missing nine.
It could be nine scattered throughout the whole 50 states.
Yeah, wow.
So
okay,
we don't know, but we'll find them. You know, we'll
continue
to look for them.
It's no big deal. It'll fix itself. It'll be self-correcting somehow.
Someone will say, "Hey, my county's not there. How come my county isn't showing up?" You see, then we'll find that one, and we'll get them eventually. But when we have time, we'll look some more, or they'll come up to us eventually.
Okay, I didn't understand how it worked. I thought it was easy as just changing a number, so that's good to know. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's referencing a name of a county somewhere on every one of the states, and when you go into the back office, the state people can get in the back office, and you'll see the counties, each one listed, and there's a box to check to say constituted, and when you put the check in the box, then the number moves, and then the number gets recorded over at the constituted side.
I see.
So we have 99 more counties left to constitute, and we've got America 100% sewed in.
That is so awesome.
Yes. I remember when we hit our first couple of counties. I mean, there was excitement as it is, but we knew we had a long road. And let me tell you something. We did this in – and actually, we did this in less than a year or just about a year because it was – well, it was just about a year because I think New York – let's see when New York was constituted. New York was constituted on February 27th. So we started doing our counties, I think, in August. We did Dutchess County, which was the first county in America. And an Orange County followed like a week later and so on and so forth. So
I've been to Dutchess County. Many years ago with my brother, he worked cows and beef. And anyway, that's amazing. So here it is, August. That's a year. And it took
it's 1 year, and we're just about going to be done. I mean, it's like 1 year from the point we really started to go. I remember when I started talking about it, and we set up a program for constituting. And,
five minutes, John, 5 minutes.
We'll go a little over time. But then we went out that 1 week. The following, that next Sunday, I got together with a bunch of people, and the following Friday, we constituted it, and that was the beginning of the movement. Orange County, New York, our next-door neighbor here, followed right behind us, and Putnam County and a few others and so on, and it started to move very quickly.
It's been amazing. It's truly amazing that so many people in America have caught on to this and actually what's happened in this time frame is just really, really, really hopeful.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to have to move on. We've got three more callers and we've got 4 minutes left, but we'll go a little over time because we start a little late anyway, like we usually do. 5 minutes. Yes. All right, you too. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, wireless caller 707. You got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Doug Millar in Colorado.
How you doing, Steph?
And I got three issues. Number one, for your printing, if you ask somebody to call the UPS stores, they have different prices. If you buy a card for $25 or $50, you can find some stores that offer them for 4 cents a copy, others for 5 cents a copy, and even sometimes you can find a legal size. Copies for 5 cents a copy if you buy a $50 card. Number two, regarding the grand juries, I've gone to the grand jury and met with them in California, in Sonoma County where Bohemian Grove is, and yet they refuse to, even if I give them written documentation about the torture and murder of children there in the county. We have three witnesses with written statements who have been to Bohemian Grove and witnessed the torture and murder of a child. And we can't get the grand jury to help us investigate these things, even though, of course, the state requires...
Well, believe me, we will investigate that case and many, many, many others. And again, you know, the people that are listening in, that are living in those areas, they will be responsible. It's their duty to look into, and we're going to look into every case, any case that comes before the people. You know, we cannot discard any case. There's some horrific things going on out there, and this is, of course, the most horrific when they go and do something like that.
Then the other thing is, here in Colorado, I always prepare a written documentation before I go to meet with grand jurors, and I did that in Colorado here in Jefferson County, with Bohemian Grove. I'm sorry, we're calling a high school map to the place, and that's why I carry the whole thing up.
and as you can get in documentation.
She said that we will look into this. Of course, I get a letter from the district attorney who is trying to control and was controlling the grand jury. And he said if I ever do that again, that I would suffer consequences. But anyway, so that's two statements.
Now you have sworn statements on this, you say? Affidavits?
I have written statements. I can make an affidavit of both of those. Of course, what I did was I wrote to the president of the grand jury in both states and told them what I was wanting to talk to them about. I said, I've got all kinds of documentation. Here's some exhibits, et cetera, et cetera. But I was never able to.
And what state are you in?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, Colorado. All right, well, look, at when we get to that point, we get into the courts, you're going to need to bring that court case into the grand jury then. I don't know if you're going to become an administrator, then clearly you will be able to make that road open quickly. But again, you know, as desperate a case as that is, as horrific that is, and how much it needs, justice needs to be served there, even all that put together, we have to keep in mind, first and foremost, you know, we have to first, you know, get shelter and food, the first order of business. You know, when the pilgrims came to America, I forget the captain's name or something, but you know, he said, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, and the first order of business was to create a shelter and get food. Okay. Nothing else is important until you do that. Well, that's what we have to do in America. We have to secure our borders. We have to secure, and it starts off with every county. You secure the county, you know, and we got to make sure that it's secured and that we have a home. And then we have to secure the resources. Should an emergency come, we need to take account of our resources, what we have, and be able to distribute it, we the people, ourselves. Because if they collapse everything, we can move food around. We could move the resources around. That'll be the job we'll do, and the payment will be ultimately food and keeping electricity going and things of that nature. And so that's the first order of business. We have to secure that. That's going to take at least 30 days to secure our counties and ultimately our states. Now we go in after these kind of cases and deal with them. And some people don't understand that they want to move too quickly on things, and I know that there's a lot of things I'd like to move quickly on, but again, you know, it's not my timing, it's not your timing, you know.
Right. Now the third issue is I was glad somebody brought up Brody Stitch tonight, because I met him back in 1996 in Las Vegas when I was helping the Ted Gunderson, the former head of the FBI from Los Angeles, second largest field office in the country. He was running against President Clinton for a re-election. And I mention this because Rodney Stitch wrote another book that's even more explosive than The Drugging of America, and that's called Defrauding America. And in that, he quotes a CIA officer who is the number three in the CIA at one time, in charge of the finances of the CIA. His name is Colonel Gunther Reusbacher, and Reusbacher stated that we in the CIA fund the bribing of 50% of all judges in America. Every 6 months, whether we need them or not, we have them come to Las Vegas and or Atlantic City, where they can pick up their bribes in the form of chips or cash, and that's what's going on. He even named the five or six casinos in each city that were providing the drugs, the bribes for the judges. So
right.
There you go.
Yeah, this is going on everywhere. It's really that bad.
Yeah.
All right, I got to move along because I still got a couple more callers. So,
all right, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye bye. Okay, 302-757. Got two more, one more caller left after this one. 302-757. Yeah, go ahead. Hello? Oh, somehow you got muted. Okay, go right ahead.
So, I'm in Delaware, and it's my understanding that to constitute the state, you had to do it by Skype because there weren't enough people. Does that fly? Is that lawful?
No, nothing was done by Skype. I know that there were people heading down there. They got stuck in the traffic jam, and they participated, I think, over the phone, but maybe they were Skype over the phone. But generally speaking, no.
Okay. And so I met with the organizer for the state, and I'm in possession of the paperwork because I have a notary in my office. I can get anything notarized. And so you're just looking for three signatures, or are you looking for four signatures?
Well, there's got to be three people, three signatures that were conscious and aware of the meeting, and that's the key, you know, that's the witness. If it ends up being two, I guess we can live with two. The paperwork, the important paperwork is the declaration, which will be signed by three people in that county. But and even that doesn't have to really be the county, but really, you know, we can wait for those signatures. So as we get people who step up in the county, they can put them on. And ultimately, you know, if the paperwork doesn't catch up with us and we get in, that's fine too. Eventually, we do want to finish off on the paperwork. We want to just get it in there. And the purpose of the paperwork is just the memorial. It's nothing else, nothing more. And what it does is it tells the people that we did the right thing. We did the honorable thing. We alerted everybody as best we could through the newspapers. And people either responded or they didn't. And some newspapers, a lot of newspapers, didn't even print them. But, you know, we can't control that. But we did the honorable thing.
My next question was, it said that in the paperwork itself, it stated that there was a course or some kind of education given. Any idea what that is, or is that something from the website? Is that the video, the PowerPoint video?
There is a course, so to speak, on how to do it, how to constitute a grand jury. I think we took that down now. Let me think. Let me take a quick look. I believe we took those courses down. Oh, no, we're still up there, how to start a jury. We're probably going to take that down because we're done with that. That's a process we're finished with, and then that was the course, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yes. Am I able to pull that down and show it to because I can get to three counties. I only have three counties. My state's an hour and a half, top
right.
to bottom.
Yeah, you can go up there. All the paperwork and everything is there, you know. And you, if you're not familiar, if you're not aware of how it works, but you want to get the paperwork together, absolutely. Go up there, watch the video, read the page, and download the paperwork. All the paperwork is there in a zip file. And then finish off the paperwork as you go along. Yeah, you should be able to do your state very quickly because you're right. There's only three counties down there, so.
And
is it three or seven? You're in what? Which one you're in? You're in
Delaware.
In,
there's three.
Delaware. Oh, that's right. Three.
Right.
Yeah, Maryland's got seven, I think. Right.
Something
like that.
Now, I heard people talking about the grand jury itself. I've been following Rod Class, and that's how I came across you guys was last Wednesday. And I've been following him forever. Carl Lynch, you name it. There's so many of them out there. And he actually has been through the process and put the attorney through the ringer. And he could be a really good resource as far as that's
absolutely
concerned.
Yeah, I saw him. Look, we've been watching him for a while, knowing that he's one of the guys that we're going to want to make contact with and talk with him about prosecuting cases that are necessary. And we also heard that he was doing some courses teaching people these things.
Yeah, the last retreat was on the 27th, 8th, and 9th. Down in North Carolina, and we went to that.
So he's doing a job that's a necessity, and that's something National Liberty Alliance has not done, and it really isn't appropriate for us to go forward with that. Maybe it's not. excuse me.
Maybe it's not appropriate.
NLA can, because we can facilitate. So if Ron, we can probably connect something for the facilitation of those people who want to become, private attorney generals, and so. When we were brought together, you know, we didn't seek him out, and I don't know that he seeked us out either, but there was a person who's been watching both of us, and they brought us together. And they told me that, look, you guys should be talking to this guy, and they told him, look, you guys should be talking to these guys, and that's how it happened. And then
you bring different different pieces to the puzzle. He's operating in their fiction. You're looking to fix it.
Right.
He's fixing it from the inside. You're fixing it.
Right.
More the way the founding fathers would want it.
Right. Yeah. He understands the fiction. And he's trying to battle it, and we're coming from a different perspective. You're right.
And the last thing, because I heard you guys mentioning RICO. In the Highway Safety Act, which is where the states get their federal funding for the roadways, it specifically talks in there, and Rod has proved this in Lincolnton, North Carolina. It specifically states that 60% goes to the state and 40% goes to the political subdivision. Well, whenever there's a traffic ticket, it always says state of, like it might happen in the municipality of Wilmington, but it's state of Delaware that is bringing me in. Well, that's a RICO violation because 40% was supposed to go to the political subdivision and they're not listed on the citation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you really should talk to Rod about.
Okay.
Because that's every fact for case.
All right, let me move along.
Okay.
I've got two more
callers
left. We're late, so thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, two more callers. We just lost one. I don't know where that caller went to. Joshua, go right ahead. But whoever got kicked out of the queue, come back into the queue. Joshua.
I was just wondering if you're just going to be doing... Hold on.
Let me lower your thing. You're coming in loud and you're breaking up. Go ahead, try it again now.
I was just wondering if you're going to do a Thursday call still or no.
I can't understand you. Gerard, can you understand what he's saying? Try it again, Josh. You're coming in.
Yeah, sure.
It sounds like you got a bad microphone. It's like real scratchy, and it's like scratching my ear. Yes, what happened? Go ahead, try it now.
I turned down the volume on it. No, I was just wondering if you were doing the Thursday law call after the special meeting this week or no?
Yeah, whatever time is left after the consideration of indictments, and I'm presuming we'll have 2 hours left. I'm presuming it's going to take 1 hour to go through the process, and I think that'll probably be long because we're not getting into discussions. We're just going to put the evidence forward and then take votes, and those who dissent from it, they'll have the opportunity to say why, and we'll respond to that, and then we'll do a final count, and then we'll do each case that way, and it should move relatively quickly. They usually don't last long at all. You know, all of the cases that we've really been involved with is people interfering and preventing us from coming in. So they've been very, very simple, you know, and so they're able to move very quickly. These may take a little bit longer because we have to give a little bit of a story on how what went on, where the violations were, and we're going to write papers. As a matter of fact, we will post papers. People will read all the papers. It'll be under the Juris tab somewhere, and I'll put an email out where these papers are, so if people get out there, they can kind of read these papers prior to coming out. And so they'll already know pretty much, and then we'll give the synopsis.
Okay. Yeah, that was my only question.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, Josh. Okay, that's the last caller. There was someone else in the queue that got kicked out accidentally. If you want to come back into the queue, you got I'll give you 10 seconds to get in there. Just hit star 6 and then 1. You'll be back in the queue, and we'll take your question or comment. Okay, here it is. You're back in the queue. Go right ahead. 865, you're unmuted, 292.
Yeah, I was unmuted a second ago, then it kicked me off when the other guy came on. My phone's been acting weird.
Right, this is Andrew, but go ahead.
Yeah, this is Andrew from Tennessee. I was going to let you know that the thing with Commander Fitzgerald, I was looking over everything in the briefs that I got and the paperwork that I was emailed. Everything is already in the appellate court in Knox County. That's where one of the three Tennessee Supreme Courts meet. So if you want, when you get things going, you can contact me and send me the paperwork, and I can just run it down there and file it because I'm probably one of the closest ones to that court.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that would be good because with him, we'd like to get, if we can get him filed on a Friday, get them into their hands because they're going to try to put him in prison on Monday. We're going to put him on notice on Friday.
That's my issue because I just want to point out, because I've been talking about this in the room. As in response to that email I got from that reporter, it's from an investigation from the Tennessee Department of Corrections and whatever it is out of Nashville from files in Knox County. They stated that he was convicted on a crime where there was no victim. So if this judge proceeds to sentence him and does anything other than dismiss this case, we've got them because the state of Tennessee itself, an investigator, even said there was no victim. And under basic law,
no crime exists with no victim.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That investigation report will work in our favor.
They put people in jail all the time without a victim. Look, at you get caught driving without a driver's license in most states, you're going to jail. Okay, but where's the victim?
Well, I'm just saying this is gonna help our whatever paperwork we file.
Well, absolutely.
We can attach that report and it's like, look, an investigative department from the state of Tennessee said there was no victim. Why does this guy have a felony? Which of all the charges that stuck on him, aggravated perjury, I've never heard that term before.
Well,
first of all,
he didn't perjure himself. He wasn't guilty of perjury.
Exactly.
And clearly, there's no aggravated perjury. And that's the key thing. They trumped up the charges because they couldn't shut him up. He was revealing things. He was revealing things, and they didn't want it revealed. And that's why they shut him down, and it became a personal thing between the grand jury foreman and him. And the grand jury foreman turns out to be a lawyer, a bar lawyer. Okay, and
That was found on the investigation, and there's also something else. A police officer, a sergeant from the county of the sheriff's department, saw the discussion between the two, and he said from what he's seen in the five-minute conversation, the grand jury foreman said, we will not hear you anymore, quote, per word, and that was put in the report. What foreman or grand jury has the right to say, sorry, we're not going to hear your case anymore?
Right.
I mean, they don't have that right.
Of course not. But not only that, they didn't want to hear the case because the word was given. And the other thing is this grand jury foreman, I understand, has been in power for an extreme amount of time. And I don't recall.
A couple of years. The one prior to him was like, I think the commander said 32 years before the one that's in now. And the one that's in question.
You see, this is a wrongdoing right there. They've taken total control. They've got the will of the judge and everybody. It's horrible. So I got another two more callers came on. It's getting late, so let me move on. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's talk. Yeah, keep in touch with me. Get in touch with me tomorrow, the next day, or maybe the next day because I got a lot of work to do tomorrow. But let's talk and let's try to work arrangements for the paperwork. And I'm sure that we're going to go through. The indictment's going to go through, but we don't know until we do it. So.
Definitely. I'm pretty sure we're going to meet some resistance when we file. I mean, we're just probably better off.
Oh no!
Serving notice on the judges, the DA, and the grand jury.
That's not how it's going to work. No, they will not give us a problem. We're not filing it in the appellate court. We're not filing it in their court. This is a state court we're talking about, if I recall, right?
Yeah, this Tennessee State Court
we're
is
going,
the appellate court.
Yeah, we're
for
going.
Us.
We're going to the federal court. We are filing in a federal court. This has become a federal issue. This cannot be decided by the state, and this is what's going to rock their boat because they have no clue what's going to happen.
You're pulling RICO.
Absolutely, RICO conspiracy violation.
Oh,
look
I
at
got
the
it.
Violation
got
upon
it.
The people of your entire state. Okay. Your unalienable rights have been violated for 32 years. It's been nothing but a kangaroo court.
Tennessee has been released under very well noted documents that Tennessee is number 3 in the most corrupt states of the union. And number 3. I was shocked at that myself, but it's not really all that surprising.
All right. Let me move on. We'll talk all later. Right. Got two more callers.
All right.
Okay. Bye bye.
No problem.
434-736. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, this is Curtis Nix from Virginia. I was trying to talk to you about, I had mentioned to Ann Yeist, our coordinator here in Virginia, last Thursday, I think it was, or Wednesday, that I had my group, I'm with the Tea Party group, and we had uncovered, it looks like a plot here, it's a lot more of a conspiracy by our state Department of Justice, and I've copied the links and I put them on the chat box there. It talks about the sovereignty training. They're holding secret meetings that they're barring the public from to discuss ways that the law enforcement and law enforcement professionals that can volunteer to take special classes on taxpayers' money, on the people's money in the public, in our government buildings, to plot how to arrest non-taxpayers, the sovereigns, and of the sort. And I got the link. I wanted to pass that on to you and let you take a look at that and suggest what we might do, Scott, because this is serious.
Well, hold on to the information. Continue to collect more information, and we need to wait for a future to do this because there's lots of people preparing lots of cases all across this nation, and they're holding on. We first have to get into the courts, and getting into the courts is first going after anybody who prevents us from getting into the courts, and anybody who knows anything that they can get sworn affidavits concerning the fraud going on in the juries.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a jury case, we'll take it on because it plays right into what we're doing and it makes our case and it's powerful. So that's why anybody who has affidavits concerning corruption of the juries, grand jury or trial, that's what we want. But, you know, I'm collecting data on different cases. And there's lots of people doing that, and they'll come up in the appropriate time. Just keep on to it. It's too much to take on right now.
Yes, sir, I understand that. But their advertisement right on the government website is really bizarre.
Right.
I just posted that on the website, and on your chat thing, you can go on to it, click on to it, and it tells you the times and places and description of what they're trying to do.
Right.
If you wanted to kind of get a feel for that here in this state.
Yeah, I can't. I'm in information overload at the moment, and I got to catch up. But I can't take on too much more than what we're handling and, outside the categories, you know.
We got Ms. Isley assigned to a meeting with my group up here. We cover about 5 counties. And here on the 21st, she's agreed to come to a meeting. We've got her slated for that so she can come explain to a lot of people that don't know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a good board that understands what's going on, and they seem to be accepting this really, really strong. And I've been talking to them for years about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made more headway each time. Every once in a while, people have to hear this stuff 3 or 4 times because at first they look at you like you're nuts.
Right.
But after a while, they start digging into it and they find out, it is true. They're reading the law and I'm giving them law. I'm showing them what this judge is doing. I said, well, here's the law. This is what he can do and this is what he's doing. He doesn't have that authority. He only has positive law, he only has a negative law authority, not a positive law authority. And so he can't legislate from the bench. So we've got judges people are wanting to do things against here too as well, but... You got to bear in mind,
reality is stranger than fiction. It's that first for off. But,
mm-hmm.
as far as them they do legislate from the bench, and they think they can get away with it because they're operating as chancellors in a chancery court. What they're refusing to look at is the fact that that is subversion against the United States of America.
Yeah.
They're going right up against the king itself, himself. That's the people. So they are liable.
We want to approach this in a careful manner, is my understanding, if I'm perceiving you right. And I've been downloading and reading everything you got on there. We're going to try to raise some more money for you through the group here when we hold our meeting. But I've been pushing people to go on and donate. And, of course, I'm glad to hear the books are on their way. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Yep.
But we're going to try to get more people to make more donations and pass out more of these flowers. Now that I understand more about the site and the information you got there, everything you've got on that site, I think I own every video that's ever been made. I got a collection of books and videos over the past 5 or 6 years that I've just unbelievable amount of stuff. And when right. I was looking for the
I've got literally over a thousand videos, well over a thousand. I only posted a percentage of them, small percentage.
Yeah, I'm saying you just a little chunk of one here and there, but just the hours that you have in that stuff is amazing. Of course, and there's tons of stuff on the net too. You can get to see some of it. But you're doing a great job. I'm praying God bless you, and we move for this thing, and we'll do whatever you direct us to do. I just want you to know we're behind you 100%. We'll play this by ear. We'll just collect as much evidence as we can and try to learn this language.
Right. Soon you'll be able to take it. Soon you'll be able to take it right to your local grand jury and take care of the business. I mean, we're working on the training for that. That'll go pretty quick because
Administrators with that paid position. I'm at the age where I'm about ready for retirement from my business. It's been very drilling, so a small paying job would be just fine. It's like this is my passion right here is law.
Right, exactly. So let me move on because I got two more people behind you. But go ahead.
Okay, sir. You have a good evening, sir.
All right, I appreciate your call.
Good luck, John. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, Justin, let's make it quick. We got one more call after.
Hello?
Sarah's after you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Justin. I just wanted to quickly say two things that are on point. One is I wanted to remind you that I'm volunteering to help you with the Drew Appel on the civics course test. That was one thing.
Yes, you're going to give me a call tomorrow on that.
Oh, okay. And then
did we plan on that? I think you called me today and we planned on doing it. I was just too busy today, but tomorrow we should be able to talk.
The only other question I had is how do you join the mailing list? I don't see any instructions for that.
Oh, once you join onto the, you join the site, that's it. You're on the mailing list.
Okay. And that's it.
So we don't send out a lot of mail, but, sometimes we'll send two or three in a week, but usually not that much. So... Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Justin. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right,
okay. Last caller, Sarah, 718.
Hi, John. Good evening, everybody. This is Sarah from Florida. I just wanted to ask John, do you want instances of people being arrested for jury nullification also?
No. That we want people that are telling the story of the evil. That's taken place, the fraud, the corruption from inside, and people who are abused and arrested by trying to see the grand jury, or people that actually got to sit on a jury or a grand jury and saw the manipulation by the judge and the controls by the prosecutor and how they keep a tight leash on you. These are the things we want because it plays right into what we're doing.
Okay, because I know of one case of someone that was handing out pamphlets on jury nullification, and they were arrested for just sharing the pamphlet.
And that's a problem, of course, but it's not what we can't get involved in a lot of things yet. And sometimes it might even sound cold that we can't get involved. There's just not enough time. We can't fight the little battles that aren't going to win the war. We got to fight. We got to win the war, and these are the battles that are going to win the war. You know. So,
yeah. All right.
You know, in World War II, it was Midway was the big battle, and that was a deciding factor of the war, and that's where we're at. We're at the deciding factor of the war. We have to stay focused. We can't have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 fronts. We have to stay focused.
Yeah, you're right. There's priorities. And I will be putting in a donation at the end of the week towards,
appreciate,
you know, 1,000. So
appreciate,
I will
appreciate it very much.
Just Godspeed.
All right, you too. Thanks for calling, Sarah.
Thanks.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our program tonight. Appreciate everybody online tonight. A lot of people seem to stay late for this program, so that's good. But we'll see you next Monday, Lord willing. Now, again, let me just remind you, Thursday is going to be a discussion, and it's going to be a grand jury hearing. It's national. Everyone is invited. It's right here in this room at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Thursday. We're going to produce cases and take votes and go forward and move towards some indictments, hopefully, and get ourselves one step closer. Hopefully we'll be able to collect enough money to accumulate for the $6,000 we need to send out all of these mailings for the judges. I'd like to see that go out. And we've got a couple other papers we're working on. They should be posted soon. We'll follow up on an email of this information as we go along, and we'll get it out hopefully tomorrow. Well, we will get something out tomorrow concerning Thursday. Thanks for coming. Good night. God bless.